to call this thing.
I got it. Okay. Incredible, new, fantastic, astonishing, mighty, original, uncanny, sensational podcast.
I'm just going to put down Infamous.
Hello and welcome to Infamous, the audio podcast. This is Brandon or Mutilus on the forum.
This is Jeremy, hashtag not Parker, on the forum.
And I'm Parker. I don't come to podcasts because I'm lame.
Shave my head.
And that was Parker. He has to leave now to go do lame things.
Probation.
So what did we do? We said triple the probations for missing an episode last time, right? So we went from 1 to 3. So now it's 9, so he's at 18 probation episodes remaining.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah. Parker's too busy hiding in Ohio somewhere in a house made of wood. I don't know why, but that's what he's doing.
Yeah, he's camping or glamming or glam camping or there's something. I don't know. People do those things.
I think he's doing fish talking, where you just go out there and you talk to the fish.
Fish like, talking.
Yeah. Fish don't whisper, though. They talk at full volume.
Oh, neat.
All right. So moving into our best segment of the day, because Parker's not doing it, the news.
News. Not Parker news. Not Parker news.
News. So our one big thing today, we have Jean Grey's character card was spoiled. And I think this actually happened today. So piercing the veil here, we're recording this on Wednesday. So Jean Grey is a 5-point mutant X-Man. She has 6 health on the front and 7 on the back. Yep, 7 on the back. Speed medium, size 2. Her physical defense is 3, her energy defense is 4, and her mystic defense is 5. Her basic attack is a mystic psionic bolt, range 4, 5 dice, 0 cost. She gains power for damage dealt and has sap power. Her spending attack, which is a expensive one, telekinetic force, range 3 physical attack, 9 dice, cost 6. And then before damage is dealt, if the target is size 4 or less, they may throw the character away short. And then it has explosive before damage is dealt. Other enemy characters within 2 of the target suffer 1 damage. The cool part about this is because they both trigger at the same time, you can choose to explode before or after you throw them, which is pretty cool. Her first superpower is an active battlefield manipulation, cost 3. Choose an interactive terrain feature size 4 or less within range 3 and throw it medium. The superpower can only use once per turn. Not bad. It's a pretty solid throw. Not the best in the game, but it's certainly up there with the best of them. Next ability is unique. It is called Matter Transmutation. Matter Transmutation. It's also an active power, which is kind of cool. Cost 3. Choose another character with an activated token, not friend or enemy, within 2, and push it short. A character can be moved by this power only once per turn. And then another unique power, Shield Mind, reactive, cost 2. When this character or an allied character within 4 would be advanced, placed, or pushed as a result of an enemy mystic attack or an enemy superpower, you may choose to use this power. The allied character is not pushed, placed, or advanced. Latent psychic potential, she gains 1 additional power each phase, and she has flight. On the back side, I believe the only change is she has 7 hit points.
Yeah, that's all I could find.
So, yeah. If we were just directly comparing her to Ebony Maw, she has 3 more hit points. Yeah, 3 more hit points, and 3 more defensive dice, and gets 1 less power a turn. But she has gaining attacks, which is really cool.
You know, not all models are equal, Brandon. Like, some models have to be different. And Ebony Maw is not her. They're different models, okay?
They are different models.
They do different things. One of them is god-awful.
She's on a medium base, right?
I don't know. Wait, she is. Looks like it. No, maybe. She's small. Is that small? Maybe. I don't know. That looks like a small, though, because, like, just the way...
That is a small. I had to find a picture. There it is. It's a small for sure. Okay, I was going to say she might be faster than Ebony Maw as well, but she's not.
All right, my favorite thing. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. I love the fact that she can throw a big ass base into you. Like, mm-hmm. that is amazing.
Yeah, throwing size 4 people is fun.
That's so much damage. But go ahead, what are your thoughts?
I don't know.
I don't know.
The mind shielding, I think, is the reason she'll get played. There will become a time when the tournament meta is a set solved situation where people play the same things over and over again, and people will play her to counter people like Enchantress and MODOK. And so that's all I'm really expecting. She probably is actually really hard to kill by MODOK because she's got the really high Mystic defense. We were joking before the cast started. You could play her with Cable. And you have 10 points of X-Men characters, which is cool, I guess. But you would be able to protect both of them very well. Because he would add dice, and then she would prevent them from being moved. But it just seems like a really bad way to play, like, Avengers, so I don't get it.
So explain to me how...
okay.
How does Shield Mind work against other characters? Because, I mean, it has to be an attack, right? It's not just, like, just move?
No, it says, or enemy superpower.
Okay, so a bow. It stops bow and yeah. stops... Okay.
It does not work against non-mystic attacks, but it works against mystic attacks and powers. Okay. So if they were doing Shuri's energy gauntlets, you would get to push them. If you were doing Black Panther's claw attack, you would get to push them. But if you were doing... The funny thing is they keep putting this on there. There's almost no mystic attacks that actually move people. Like, it's like illusions on Loki, and I think that's it.
Doctor Strange.
Maybe Enchantress has the one.
Doctor Strange. He does it.
It's not a mystic attack!
Is that energy?
Yes!
Really?
Like, it makes no sense. It's such a... Like, the PSD card as well is the same thing.
Huh.
Yeah, so Enchantress's Enthrall doesn't. Loki's Illusions does if you roll double wild. Yeah, Mesmerize. After the attack is resolved, you may advance the target up to its current speed after the attack is resolved. And then after the advance is resolved, they suffer a damage for everyone near him. But that's the only one I can even think of. I guess Ebony Maw's big attack can throw people if he gets a wild. Yeah, throw on a wild. And Sinister Influence after the attack is resolved on a wild, he gets to advance you short. So Ebony Maw is the character that all of these hard counters are put into the game for. Because Ebony Maw is like the only fucking idiot around that can move people with his mystic attacks. Makes no sense.
She does stop Thanos from placing you, right? I believe that's a power.
Yes, because it's a superpower.
That's some obnoxious shit.
Oh, no, I think it's a really good power. It's a really good power, but the fact that it says a mystic attack is just like why? Like no one's gonna do that. If Loki illusions you and gets double wilds, you're probably just dead.
Like,
where the
face.
Fucking odds he needs to move you? Yeah, he has the Mind Stone. That's the last thing he's gonna do to fucking try and move you. Makes no sense.
I wish. I don't know. I don't. I'm not sure why you would have a model that has 13 health, 5 points. And she only has a strength 5 builder. I mean, granted, you'll be beaten on her, so she'll have lots of power, but I think that's kind of weird.
What's weird? What do you mean?
That she just has a strength 5 builder. I don't know. Like, if you're
Jeremy, you realize 95% of characters in this game have strength 5 builders, right?
I know, but she's 5 points. Like, I don't...
And most 5-point characters...
Her health is kind of low builders. For 5 points.
Okay. I'm gonna sort the game by point cost.
Okay.
You ready?
Do it. Look at 5-point models and look at health.
All right. No, I'm going to look at attack dice on their builder attack. Oh my god, it's fucking okay. So we got Black Bolt, Cable, Doctor Strange, I believe Ebony Maw. Yep, Ebony Maw. So we're at 4. Ghost Rider I think has 6. He does. So I'll just count the ones that do. So we have Ghost Rider, MODOK, Scarlet Witch, and Thor. There's 4 5-point characters that have 6 dice builders.
Okay.
Oh, and Angela, right? She didn't populate for some reason. Oh my god, this fucking slideshow. Like, they have to fucking upload the pictures in 10K Omega Res. It's loading one line of pixels at a time. Yeah, so she has a 6 dice builder. So we have Angela, Ghost Rider, MODOK, Scarlet Witch, Thor. So we have 5. We have Black Bolt, Cable, Doctor Strange, Ebony Maw. and Amazing Spider-Man. So we have 5 and 5. So it's a 50% chance that the characters have a 6 dice builder if they're 5 points.
And their health pool's better.
Yeah, no, you usually buy a better stats and better abilities is usually what you're buying. And there's no question she has good stats. And there's no question she has good powers.
So I guess, I mean, look at the math. Basically, first turn she comes up, does some things, doesn't really do a lot, probably gets hit a little bit, gets some power. Second turn, she blows up your world. Like, she throws that 9 dice thing at you, and then she throws MODOK into people. Like, she could wreck some house, man.
I actually don't think you'll use the Telekinetic Force hardly ever.
Oh, because she's doing her other stuff? I also hate I hate
if you
want to
throw something, you'll just spend the 3 and do it. She gets 2 power a turn. It's not the same. You have to think of her as an Asgardian. Like, 3 power is not a big deal on her. Because she's got 4 on turn 2. And you can play first class, if we're actually talking about playing X-Men. First class means she doesn't have to spend power to pick up an objective, so she's actually going to have 4 power on turn 2.
Yeah.
And she has a good attack that builds. It has sap power, which you've seen what Enchantress does with sap power. If you throw enough dice, you'll eventually hit sap power.
Yeah. I think she's interesting. I think she does something that other models don't do. And she also...
She's a defensive version of Scarlet Witch.
Hmm. I guess, yeah. She's got some cool stuff. I like the fact that she can throw a size 4 thing, and the fact that she can manipulate her own team's models. I mean, that's kind of new.
Yeah, if only there was another character in X-Men that could move characters.
There isn't one. Just stop.
Yeah, if only there was, like, a cheaper character that had some other support ability, like maybe even a leadership.
Did you?
And a ranged attack, maybe.
Careful, you're going to break the meta. You're going to list your 14-point list that cracks the game wide open.
We're doing it! Summer's team forever! Gene, Scott, and Nathan. Unstoppable combo.
Jesus. So she gets like a 4 thumbs sideways. I don't know. I don't even know. Like, she's...
Yeah, hopefully cool. They'll add Corsair to the game, so that way we'll have 4 generations of Summers in the game.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I know you're not a huge fan of X-Men anyway, so whatever.
I actually really like X-Men as a concept. I like the universe more than I like individual characters, and we always get the most boring characters first. Like, Wolverine, while I like Wolverine, the things I like Wolverine for are not the let me stab you repeatedly and say bub. Like, that's not the best parts of Wolverine. Like... And so we always get, like, Jean Grey and Scott, and we get Storm, and it's, like, Beast. Who the fuck cares about these 4 characters? Like, they're not interesting characters.
No.
Well, like, give me Gambit. Give me Nightcrawler. You know, give me, what's the other guy's name? Colossus, even. Like, there are characters that are a lot more interesting than these fuckheads.
Problem is they can't make them any good. Storm's leadership is too goddamn strong. Like, you can't... They've locked themselves into a, like, they painted a corner into a corner.
Yeah, it's gonna be like Captain America. Like, every list we tried to build with Sam just devolved into us also putting Steve Rogers in the list. Like, every time it's like, you know, if drop off was 1 point cheaper, it's like, god damn it, like we can't do it. Yeah, it's just like Cabal. It's like, well, what if you had Master of Evil and the ability to get place range too? It's like, man, that would be awesome. Like,
it does seem good.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason the core set leaders are real good. I give her, like, I don't know, like a 5 out of 10. She's not overly inspiring. I think she has a lot of legs to play with, but it's only because she's going to be part of a meta, not because she's good on her own. She's going to be good because she counters what's good.
Yeah, she might be a solid answer piece. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be like, ooh, look at that. You've got that over there. I get what you're doing. Cool, cool, cool. Yeah. I'll use Jean Grey.
How does your Black Order list went all of a sudden when your, what's it called? Your Cosmic Portal doesn't work.
Jesus, that would be obnoxious.
Yeah. Like, real obnoxious.
That would be horrible.
Yeah. Just put Jean Grey and Scarlet Witch in the same list, and then you walk up and you're like, Cosmic Portal! And then Jean's like, nope. And you're like, fine, I'll Death Decree. And then what's her Scarlet Witch is like, nope. And you're like, ugh! Like, stop doing that.
This is so bad.
I just want to do stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So moving on past the news, because that was the only news. We have currently playing. Jeremy, are you playing anything new?
What did I play most recently? You got me off guard with that.
Yeah, we just do this like every week. It's no big deal.
Shut up. What did you recently play?
I played Cabal. But I played Red Mayhem Cabal.
Ah.
I basically reimagined the Bifrost Bruisers in Cabal instead. So I'm playing Sabretooth, Wolverine, and Deadpool and Bob in Cabal. Because, you know, Bob's already Cabal, Sabretooth's already Cabal. So two of your healers are already in affiliation. And then also Bob is as well. Oh, wait, no. Bob is one of them. Bob heals in a very new and interesting way, though.
So
it's through sheer force of will. He stays alive.
I want a hot take on Bob. So he's either really good fair or really bad.
Fair balanced. It's fine. He's fine. Don't look at it too close.
Oh, my God.
My favorite was my first time I ever attacked with Bob. Enchantress moved me off the center point, which Magneto was standing on with 2 hit points remaining. And so I just walk him back when it gets to my turn to stand on the point, and I fire the rocket at Enchantress, dazing her and throwing myself into Magneto, dazing him. I was like, get wrecked, noobs. He's like, what does this model do?
Wow.
I was like, whatever he wants. He probably got dazed 5 times in that game.
Oh my God.
In the 5 turns we played, I think he literally got dazed every turn.
Well, sure he did.
Yeah.
That's the thing I noticed about him is you have to waste half of your activation just to make sure he's down. Like, you can't just let him wander about the table.
No, you have to just let it happen.
Really?
Because once he shoots... No, so what you want to do is you want to daze him the first time for real when he's healthy. You daze him when he's healthy, and then you just let him shoot the fucking rocket. Because it's not worth the time to try and fucking kill him with priority every single time, because you're just giving up priority.
Yeah.
It's actually the ultimate weapon against priority.
Hmm.
Because their options are kill the guy with the 9-dice rocket, or do something legitimate. And so they end up killing the guy with the rocket, and you're like, oh, cool, so I basically have priority for 2 points.
That's interesting.
Also, you can put Bob in front of your other models so Magneto can't throw shit at them.
That is so douchey.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Because once he has an activated token, his bullshit doesn't work. He just dies. And so they can't activate him without him dying.
Yeah. So he just goes last, and who cares, right? Just...
Yeah.
Huh. That's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, it's weird.
So I remember.
So yeah, anyway. My list was...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm not done with my list.
I'm playing
Sin and Crossbones, Zemo, Bob. Those are my 4 Cabal members. And then I put in usually either Sabretooth, Wolverine, or Deadpool, some combination of that. It's been actually a lot of fun, and not because of any particular interaction. It's just fun to play a lot of models and just run at people. Because that list definitely does that, is you just go engage the enemy and do what your models do.
It was funny watching you play that, because it was one of those where it was like, okay, and you go again, and then you go again, and then you also mm-hmm. go again, and then now this model goes again. Because mm-hmm. it does. It has a lot of models. It's pretty swarmy.
Yeah. Because you almost never have priority, so they go first, and then if their first thing is killing Bob, which doesn't really matter, and you're like, oh, okay, I guess I activate Wolverine, he goes here and stabs this guy, whatever, and then they go, and then they're basically out of models at that point if you've managed to daze somebody with either your first or second action. And so then it's just like, all right, now I go with Zemo and Sabretooth and Sin and Crossbones, and you're like, oh, okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm interested to see what Sin kind of unfolds into, like how scary she actually is, because some of the stuff I've seen, like the things she's able to do is just really obnoxious.
I don't think she'll be that good. I've found there's a lot of the missions she actually like doesn't get to do anything on. Like the Mayor Fisk and the Terrigen Clouds missions are basically worthless, because they move after her leadership triggers. It just doesn't matter that your leadership triggers, because you were going to move the fucking things anyway. And so it's just like, I push you away and then move the token. And it's like, okay, it was super redundant. And there's a lot of extract missions where there's only like 1 or 2 points, and then you never get close to that person, or you just end up killing them anyway.
Huh.
Yeah, her leadership is not very good. It's annoying when your opponent doesn't know how to play against it, but that's about it. There is some fun stuff you can do, like Magneto moves forward and you just run a guy at him to push him away because he stood on a point. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Yep, that looks silly.
All right, so what'd you play?
X-Men with dudes. I don't know. It wasn't that great. It was just my standard issue. Like, if you gave me the point cost, I'm going to play X-Men with Corvus and his wife. If you didn't give me the point cost, then I just play X-Men with MODOK. Good. Whatever. It's fine. It's
fine. There's a lot of people playing X-Men lately.
Yeah, I don't know why. No, is it Cable? They're just like, I want to get Cable on the table.
No, well, I mean, Jason's just playing the same X-Men list he's been playing. It's just, I've seen a lot of X-Men.
I mean, I painted Cable, so, like, I kind of want it, like, but I don't. I don't want to use him. But I do, because he's painted.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Play him in Avengers, it's the only way.
Ugh. Anyway. That's what, I know what I did. I added in Domino. Holy shit!
Yeah, I thought that's what you were going to talk about. I was like, maybe it's Cable. I'm like, no, it's definitely Domino. Like,
no, well, because I replaced a three-point model with a three-point model. I wasn't really thinking about it. But yeah, Corvus with his new best friend Domino just blowing up the universe is pretty cool. When skulls are happy skulls, yeah, it's a good game. It's fun. That's it.
Jason did a similar thing in our most recent game. He traded a three-point model for a three-point model and didn't understand why his list got worse.
Oh, God.
Until we discussed it after the fact, which was he traded Taskmaster for Punisher. Can you imagine what possibly could have gone wrong after the Rogue Agent came out of his list?
Oh, shit. That sounds like something I would have done.
He had no legal way to make an affiliated 17-point roster.
Ouch.
I but can't say 17 I was like, that. Wait, you can't make a 17-point list that's affiliated? Like, that's a bad roster.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then we decided to do the other point total to help him out, and he couldn't build a 20-point list either that was affiliated. He only had the three X-Men.
Yeah. You kind of need to be able to build a 15 and a 17.
Yeah.
After that, you do kind of whatever, but you kind of got to hit those marks.
So we played an unaffiliated versus Cabal game.
Oh, that was did that very go well?
Entertaining. It actually went pretty well. We actually both had fun. We talked about it a lot after the game. The reason Jason usually checks out of games is because playing losing matches is generally not fun. Because they've usually got their like super character left over, and there's the knowledge that you will never kill them. And so it's like MODOK, Magneto, Thanos, somebody is over there that you have no ability to influence at this point because you've lost your whole card. And so it's just watching them eat your list at this point. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen with the Cabal list. It's just a bunch of fuckheads standing around stabbing people. And they're like, oh, well, I can do this. And then so everyone's just still brawling and like everybody's having a good time. And it was pretty fun. However, did you know that both being a strategic genius and knowing karate helps it you be hard to kill? Did you know that?
Knowing karate.
There's only one model in the game that knows karate.
Deadpool. He knows karate. But
Deadpool in cover with the Zemo reroll is actually really hard to kill. Because you finally get damage on him. He's like, all right, cool. I have a burrito, so I heal 3 damage. And you're like, what? He's like, you stupid son of a bitch.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty funny.
Deadpool then you randomly does look spike a lot more a roll, fun than I thought.
You randomly spike a roll and you play exceptional healing and he takes 1 and heals 3 and you're like, great. I'm so glad we're doing this. Yeah, Deadpool went 1-on-1 with Corvus for a round and a half.
That was really?
Fun. Yeah, because he finally exploded a death blow. Because we were playing Terrigen Clouds at 20 points. Mm-hmm. And so he puts the couple on the side and I kind of put Deadpool in front of him like I'm going to fight him. But then I hard flank the rest of my list on deployment, and he doesn't catch it on the first turn because I intentionally don't activate Deadpool. So he thinks I'm just going to feed him Deadpool into the couple, into Corvus and Proxima. Uh-huh. And so instead, Deadpool just double moves to the center of the table, and I give him the Terrigen Cloud. And he's like, oh, yeah, this was stupid. And so he's got, like, you know, 8 points of his list off holding a single point, and I place it and poison both of them, and so now Proxima has no power, and then Corvus is only getting 1 a turn, and then I start burying the thing into the corner of the table, so his only option is to retreat further or join the fight and give up the points. Mm-hmm. And so he basically decided to join. And so when he came in, he didn't have power to do anything, so he just walked up and striked me, and then I healed the full off of it because he didn't kill me, and then his next attack was Death Blow. I exceptional healed it down to 1 damage. And so he basically had to do 5 damage with 1 attack or he was going to, like, lose the fight. It was pretty funny.
God. I tell you, the game really breaks down half the time to if you ever have to move a model to then punch a model, you've probably done something really bad.
Yeah, because all you're going to do is hand them the power they need to kill you.
Yep.
I think it's actually a legitimate strategy to stop attacking people at that point.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have a lot of power already, just go stand by them. Just get ready for next time.
Yep.
Or go, just go stand on a point. Like, do something else. Make them move to you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into our main topic today. So if you remember from our last episode, I think it was last week. I'd be really surprised if it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
What did we do last week? Okay. So last week we talked about each of our three podcast cast members, which there are two of today, chose three characters we thought were important models in the meta today. The way we did that is basically from personal experience. And then Parker did it by reading a forum because he doesn't play games and he's bad. So since he's not here today, we figured this would be a good topic because he also couldn't pick out a counter to save his life. His counter is Captain America. He plays Captain America versus people, and sometimes it works. Mostly against Jeremy.
Yep.
Because Captain America is his bane.
It truly is.
Okay, so we're just going to go down the list that we chose last week. And just as a reminder, I'll run through the list for everybody at home right now. It's 9 models because we each chose 3. It is Scarlet Witch, Valkyrie, MODOK, Shuri, Enchantress, Magneto, Medusa, Thanos, and Quicksilver.
That's a good list. That's a really nice
good list. Dude, if that was my roster, I would not feel stupid.
No. You can't build a fact. I don't care.
Actually, you could, because there's 3 Brotherhood models here. And 1, 2, 3... Hold on. 1, 2... Oh, just 2. Damn. I was going to say 2 Cabal models. Yeah, I guess just 2. I keep wanting to say there's another one in there, but I guess not. There's just a lot of bad guys. So we'll start off with Scarlet Witch today. And funny enough, I think there's going to be a bit of a recurring theme here, which makes me happy. So in your experience of playing Scarlet Witch, Jeremy, what would you say is her counter? And we're just covering like specifically things you can add to a roster. So play skill and like being able to outmaneuver people is not an option.
No. Solid, just
a mechanical counter. Yeah.
Can we even go more specific to like either a tactics card or a character? Right. Is that what we're talking about?
I think a specific mission, maybe if you want to try to get that deep, but I don't think we'll have any of those.
I don't think it's necessary anyway. Not with this. So you want me to start on Scarlet Witch?
Yes.
Okay. Any of your physical beaters that can get there. So I would say Sabretooth, Wolverine.
That's
both of those. Or am I just giving one? So, did I blow it? Did I say two?
Preferably the best. Yeah, best. We should go with the best. But
okay.
The fact that Wolverine is on the list, the problem with Wolverine is he's weak to Mystic. So I would be cautious to do that. Because I've seen Jason walk Wolverine into so many Mystic attacks that it just scares me.
So on her own, the reason I say Wolverine, I mean, Sabretooth is great because he just comes back. He doesn't give a shit. Like, it doesn't matter what you do. He just walks up to you and he can also punch you again. But basically the two models I gave you, even if she dazes them, she fills them with power and they both will one-shot her. Like, they will kill her with her big attack. It doesn't matter. She really can't do anything about it.
Yeah, they're both reasonably risking killing her with one attack, but really they're very consistent at killing her with two attacks. And so if you do the math on Sabretooth, he can approach her from outside of her attack range. So you single move long, get within attack range, hit her once, and now if she attacks you, she's at risk of dying. And it's almost impossible for her to one-shot you if you have exceptional healing available. Like, the odds of it happening is just, like, astronomically weird situations. And so if you're doing the long move single strike, you're probably putting bleed on her if you get the wild, which is a little better than a coin flip. But if you do get the bleed, you're also getting the pierce, which means she's probably defending, like, less than one on average. And so she's only defending, like, 3/4 of a block on average. But you're probably generating 3 damage. And so you're probably getting 3 damage through... And then also the bleed. So she only has 2 hit points to really play with at that point. And even if you don't trigger the bleed on your normal attack, if she attacks you, she can't even like throw you away or anything because you have aggressive. You just come right back. then you get the Untamed Force attack, and that attack can also trigger the bleed, which will daze her at the end of the activation. So Sabretooth is a great option, because he has, even though he's very simple at what he does, he can get through a lot of her defensive abilities. And he gets on her and he stays on her.
Yep.
Also, he has potential to play Weapon X training, which I don't know why people don't like. It's such a good card. Because you can walk up from range like 5 away, hit her the one time. Oh, look, you have 2 hit points left. Weapon X training, dodge 4. You're like, oh, I guess I'm dead. Yep, you're dead. All right, so I think that's our answer with Scarlet Witch. It's the best answer we found. The only other option is like a really long-range physical attack. Like maybe a Hawkeye would be a good option, because Hawkeye could potentially shoot her twice back up. And so she doesn't like to move, and she doesn't like getting hit by physical attacks repeatedly. The weird thing about her is because her dice are better than normal, she's really good against low dice attacks. So like Punisher isn't actually that good at killing her, even though he does a lot of physical damage. He basically has to do the aimed shots.
But yeah, her solid counter is physical damage on those models that love to just roll a bunch of dice at her.
Yeah.
Just simply put, that's what it is.
Yeah, physical attacks that you can deliver to her are the option. So moving on, we have Valkyrie.
You go first.
Well, I don't want to go first.
I went first on the last one.
Yeah, that's how it works. You go first, okay. I go second. Because if we're just going to like back and forth this, it's okay, going to be really weird.
That's fine.
I can go.
No.
If you can't think of something.
I thought of something.
Oh.
I just didn't want to always steal yours.
You pandered enough to get to the answer, so go ahead.
Shut the fuck up. Probation. Fucking probation with Parker.
Probation.
With Valkyrie, honestly, the thing that gets her is being able to get priority, because you got to get her twice in a row. You have to catch her, knock her down, and then immediately kill her before she activates. And how it doesn't matter which version you do. Her stats aren't good enough to really hold anything. That's my answer. Get her with priority. Get her first.
The answer is priority. Just focus her down with priority. So your suggestion then would be all according to plan?
Help me with that. What is that one? I don't remember.
That's the shadow. There's the it's the criminal card that gets priority.
Okay, well, sure, but...
Because, like, something you can put in your roster, you can't put priority in your roster.
Correct. So, I guess I'm giving a tactic, okay?
Yeah, you're giving a tactic. A strategy with a tactic would be only daze her when you know you're going to have priority next turn.
There you go, you said it.
That would be an answer.
That's my answer.
Yeah, yeah, but we said when we started this, that's not an option.
Ugh.
You have to give a tactics card, you have to give something you put in your roster a mechanical counter, not a tactic counter.
Okay, so let me talk it out here. So she is very scary for two specific reasons. One, she can move and throw you from almost anywhere on the board. That's really crazy.
That's the least threatening of
that's
the two.
The least.
But it's
So
her other option is putting out a lot of damage.
And she can put out a lot of damage, but she needs power to do that. So she'll get on the first turn or two, she's going to move into you and then swing once, getting a whole lot of power. And then the next turn, she's going to be a problem. So you're going to also need to throw her, even though she has a charge. So the charge makes it really hard to just push her out and feel safe, because she just comes right back in. I would say this is one of the primary models that you need to target with your Scarlet Witch or MODOK. You just nuke them. Like, they have to be at range. You get them before you even start. So
my answer was MODOK.
Okay.
Because MODOK stops the flurry, and so her maximum damage potential is greatly reduced. She also can't throw him, and so her only option is to charge him and then Warrior of Legend to try and get the hits back he negates. So she's losing, like, 40% of her maximum damage output, and also she has no defense against his damage, so he probably just blows her up. So yeah, I would recommend MODOK. And then as a side note, MODOK also brings the answer of you probably have priority if you're playing MODOK. So,
and she's vulnerable against getting shit thrown at her. I mean, like most models.
Exactly. You probably don't even need to double attack her, because you put the first one into her, which conveniently also steals power. Because if you move her away with his mind control, she has to spend 2 power to charge back in. So now she's probably struggling to do her big attack and do Warrior of Legend, because that's a total of 7 power instead of 5. And then you're stealing power with the sap power. So even though she's taking damage, she's not having as much as she could have. And so he's just, in general, I think, the best counter. The only other option might be Magneto, but I think Magneto's better because she can actually throw him. And so she can actually contribute against Magneto where she can't contribute against MODOK.
Isn't it funny describing Valkyrie?
It's weird because there's... Yeah, the answer is play the best model in the game to get rid of her. Like that's really your only option.
She's certainly a 4-point model. Like, she feels like a 4 or 5-point model when you describe her.
Honestly, she probably should just be a 4-point model.
Yeah.
Because I usually say if she had 11 hit points, then she'd be a 4-point model, but she has 11 hit points.
I know! She starts with a 6 on the front, which is silly.
Yeah. It's really the 2 power. If she didn't have the 2 power, it wouldn't be so bad, because then she would have a weakness, but she has no weakness as is. Alright, so moving on. We have MODOK.
I would say his natural predator, if I were to have a good solid counter for him, it's...
the natural predator of George Charlatans?
Yeah. Magneto. Magneto can get the attacks to get him, and he also can reroll the wilds.
Magneto definitely comes in like a really interesting way versus MODOK, because he has the physical attacks versus the guy with weak mystic, weak physical. And then he's strong mystic guy with the mystic attack. So of those two facing off heads up, he has a lot of advantages, like you just pointed out.
Yeah.
Because he also gets the reroll his wild, so he has a second chance to succeed on wilds. Yeah.
Yeah, I like
Magneto's.
I like Magneto a lot for dealing with MODOK. That's a good one. Yeah. I mean, it's
the
very solid.
The only downside, really, is the range mechanic, because you kind of want to get to range 2, and MODOK's fine at staying at range 4. So, but if you close the gap, like, you don't even necessarily have to actually attack him. You could probably just kill MODOK with the throws.
If you had
10 power, you could double move at him and just throw him to death, because he's so weak to throws. My answer is a little out of left field, although I know Jeremy knows of this one, is She-Hulk. She-Hulk is another great counter to MODOK, which you would not assume initially, but she just hits so fucking hard that he can't, it's too much, he can't stop it. His super consistent 2-dice defense is not enough, even when you count the wilds in, because she can spend, I think it's like 3 power and roll 11 dice on a strike versus him, and then spend like 2 power and throw him. It's silly.
So
it's absolutely silly the amount of damage she puts out.
So just a thought, do we have an answer that's cheaper than 6 threat to get rid of MODOK?
I don't think so.
I mean, is it just that way?
Is that why he's MODOK? Like, I thought that was the whole point.
I was just talking out loud.
I guess, like, Hawkeye could be decent, because Hawkeye could put Shocked and Bleed on him and then teleport away. Hawkeye's probably the next... Oh, no, because he can't do any of that because it's fucking wilds.
Yep, those are wilds.
Oh,
it's messed up, man.
No, I really don't think there's a better answer. I think those two are the best two. If you want to go deeper than that, come up with your own thing. Venom's actually not terrible, because Venom has range 3. He can't reroll his dice against him. You auto bleed. He can heal himself, so George actually has to work to kill him. He gets to attack him back mid-activation, which is pretty big, so you can do even more damage. Yeah, Venom's probably my third best pick.
I would accept that. All right,
moving on. We have a Shuri.
Oh, Shuri. I think the answer is honestly Sabretooth. Again.
Yep, and this is when I was going to say it's going to be funny, because we're going to get to this one a lot. The aggressive is huge. Having aggressive on a model that can attack her back. You can, because from a double move long, he can get wherever he wants. And Shuri ends up getting left in the back a lot, defending a point on like Gamma, and so you can just double move him long and stand on the point, and she has no answer. Her option is to leave. Like, she's like, well, I guess I'm double moving because you double moved, and so it's just very hard to do anything, because she attacks him, she's gonna take more damage than he does.
Yeah, I don't have a better one. He has aggressive, he has long move, and he will murder her dead.
Yeah. DOA. I don't know, is there another really good one? I want to say there's somebody that can't be pushed. I mean, you could say She-Hulk, because She-Hulk has a high energy defense and aggressive, but I think a 6-point model to counter Shuri is a bit much when you have a 4-point model that's also good.
I haven't tried it, but does Quicksilver do anything to her? I mean, he can get to her and throw some punches
in. Get to her, and he doesn't really care about being pushed. That's probably fair. He's okay. I don't know that he directly counters her. He's just very annoying. I mean, that would be fine. Taskmaster would be okay if he could get there, because she can't reroll her dice, even though it's really just King of Wakanda for her rerolls. Who was I just going to say? I actually thought of something. Shit, I lost it when I started talking about Hawkeye. Huh. Oh, Magneto is not bad. And I'm not saying that as a direct counter. It's just that if you're clever, you put one of his metal constructs behind him so she can't push him. And then he's resilient enough to take as much damage as she wants to deal. Because if they're spending an activation to do two damage to Magneto at best, then you're just like, whatever. I'll just do my turn now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So after Shuri, we have Enchantress.
God, Enchantress is like the Swiss Army knife of just doing shit that's obnoxious.
Yeah. She feels like the broken models from War Machine, where it's like, yeah, but I have all these cool defensive abilities. Like, I literally don't care. Like, I'm not going to actually attack you at any point. I'm just going to move your shit and take your shit. And you're like, but I don't want you to do that. It's like, yeah, I know.
If... So with her, I like some of the new tricks. I like that Scarlet Witch comes with her Texas card that no more mutants. So you can turn off her stupid power that's going to do the one-trick pony move, which is grab whatever objective and try and run away with it. I like any... God. So I guess my answer is Scarlet Witch, but she has good defense against Mystic, so I don't like that. That's not a great answer. But basically anyone...
But you don't have to spend the two power if you're already doing Mystic damage.
Oh, that's true. I like any model that charges and punches her in the face, basically.
How about Valkyrie?
Valkyrie is a very good answer for her.
Valkyrie has the power to pay for her bullshit and can definitely hit hard enough to take her out.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. And it's not a huge waste investment of points. You just do it.
And getting walked away with Valkyrie by Enchantress isn't that big of a deal because you just charge her.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't hit hard enough to actually kill Valkyrie, except maybe unless she has some power and throws a building at him.
Spikes.
At her, yeah. That's not a bad answer.
Oh, I think Enchantress can only throw size 2.
Oh, really? Maybe I was thinking of
size
Angela.
2 or less. Yeah, you're probably thinking Angela. Yeah, so I would probably go with either Valkyrie or, honestly, Quicksilver probably wouldn't be bad either. I don't know if he would have the power left over to actually kill her, but he'd be a good candidate and for cheap.
I mean, one of the initial ones I was thinking of is Thor. Thor would just kill her. Like, double punch, like, can charge in, beat her up, throw her.
Yeah, I guess.
It's expensive, but...
I mean, the answer is anyone who can throw stuff. Yeah. Because then that's why Valkyrie's so good as well, because she doesn't get her 5 Mystic against dodges like Mysterio does. It's just 2 dice, so you just throw stuff at her and watch her melt. So anyone that can throw stuff is good. So cheap characters that can throw like Valkyrie or Drax would be good. Also, physical damage dealers that have a decent amount of power would be good. And any action-efficient character like Zemo would also be good, because he could get in there without spending actions, get the 2 attacks against her with efficient dice, and just kill her. So yeah, I would probably lean most on Valkyrie, but there's a couple other options there, like Quicksilver or Zemo, I think. Preferably Valkyrie, though.
Mm-hmm. That's the easiest.
Yeah. And it's the one that's probably already in your list. All right, next up, Magneto.
The answer to this one is all you got. Basically, whatever beater you have in your list, you better have one, and then apply all you got to it and just deal with him. That's my way to deal with him.
You need to, honestly, I don't even think you try and fight him. I think fighting him just plays into the match too much. You need characters that can move him without attacking him. And so you need superpower throws or superpower advances. Like Enchantress would actually probably not be that bad, but she would get exploded if she actually...
I was going to say, attacked. She's gone. Vapor.
Well, but you could move forward, move him away... If you had enough power, you could move forward, take his objective, move him away, and back up. And then he's actually in a hard spot, because he has to come get you. There's ways to play against Magneto, and that's strategically, you need to put your model behind stuff that he can't get rid of. And so, like, models that are dazed, or his own models, if you can stand behind those kinds of things, he can't throw stuff at you. So that's a big deal. Or just another model you have, like, you can protect your guy, you can put down, like, a Crossbones or a Luke Cage, and just stand Enchantress behind them, and it makes it much harder on Magneto. But that's a tactics problem. for like singular models, I can't actually recall any that are like, oh no, this is terrible for me. Black Dwarf, honestly, it would be good if you could not have him be thrown away and he would actually get to attack you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything to take away, like a Shuri push is always good. Anything that can just move him.
Can't push him with Shuri.
Oh, you can just force project. You can do that.
Anything that's why it has to be him. A superpower.
Yeah. Or, Valkyrie mean, throw.
Yeah, Valkyrie throwing is a good option because she can also like charge in, hit him a couple times, then throw him away if she has the power. And so there are good options. But really the answer is, I think, don't fight him. Take characters that delay him because he's 6 points. He has to be getting work done to be valuable.
Yeah.
And so if you can just get rid of him, that will help a lot. Thor isn't too bad because he could come in and likely stagger him on the charge attack and then throw him away and then move away. And so he can do the thing where you just kind of rope-a-dope him and leave him out in the middle of nowhere. I played a game where Magneto basically never got to do anything. I can't remember what happened in the game. I think it was Thanos. I think it was Thanos game where he got mind-stoned and then cosmic portaled away. And you just do that every turn. You mind-stone him away and cosmic portal him away and then just never fight him.
Well, I think the key to it all is really, like, you need to have a plan for some of these superhero guys that are like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just fight them. Like, you have to have a special way to fight them, or don't play their game. Like, play a different game.
Yeah.
So sum that up again. I feel like we missed that mark. Like, what?
Yeah, I was gonna clean this up.
Yeah.
So Magneto, my recommendation was basically any character that can move him without attacking him, because you don't want to generate more power for him and you don't want to just sit there and get hit. So Valkyrie is a good option. Anyone who has an action throw. I can't think of anyone that can throw the same person more than once. That's not part of an attack, because I think there's like specifically they've tried to not allow that. Thanos, I think, is the only person that can move him twice in a turn unless he has no power. Punisher actually isn't too bad. People that have rapid fire attacks, because he can't afford to force project every attack. Because if he's force projecting all four of, you know, Punisher's attacks, then you just don't care. It's like, all right, we spent 8 power, that's fine.
You also, like,
but you have to.
I was going to say
you have to be careful though, because if he's playing in Brotherhood, he'll have magnetic refraction up, which means the cover will stop you from doing the damage. Go ahead.
I was just thinking another pro tip against Magneto is you wait for your opportunity, like watch and just pay attention and watch his power. Because if he doesn't have enough for force projection and you've got a big, big, big attack out there, that's when you want to do it. Like, and beyond that, if he's doing his force projection with the magnetic refraction, it's like nothing's happening.
Usually he tends to spend to zero because he can spend such weird increments of power. So he tends to spend out. So you want your first attack against him to be your best attack. But yeah, so I would say Valkyrie or Punisher are your bargain level entries. Is there anyone that can move people at super long range that's not an attack? I think range 3 is probably the furthest.
Why do I think that maybe Ebony Maw can do it? Maybe not.
No, his is range 3.
What about his Whisper or whatever? Is that range 3? Doesn't he have a thing that he can...
It's an attack.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, so his only option that's not an attack, I think, is range 3. And that's the same as the Mind Stone stuff. Mm. Loki probably wouldn't be too bad, because Loki could probably survive 2 attacks. The problem is Loki dies to the throws. So...
I mean, a key card against him, and I don't know if we mentioned this, but again, Scarlet Witch. No more mutants on that guy's turn is a biatch.
Yeah, I think we'll go with probably Valkyrie, because Valkyrie can land the one big hit against him, and she can come in from out of his threat range, and she can throw him if need be, if you want to play the delay strategy, because you just walk to range 2, throw him back up, and you can do that every turn. And if he's spending one of his actions to move every turn, it's not just that he's not getting you to attack, but he's not building that extra power from that attack. So you're cutting down the amount of throws he has by a noticeable amount. And so you're literally cutting his damage in half by just doing that every turn. And so I'd probably say Valkyrie and No More Mutants are the best options that aren't just like play 10-point Thanos. Mind Stone, Space Stone, Cosmic Portal, get out of here.
God.
All right. Next up, we have Medusa.
I think Medusa has a crazy output. I don't know that she takes damage well at all. So I think Valkyrie as an answer is just fine.
I think you would prefer to do a ranged attacker because, again, she's not like overly action efficient if she's moving. She doesn't have like a charge mechanic. She's really mobile and efficient at short range, but like closing the gap, she's not very efficient at.
Well, she's range 3. So, I mean, she's all right. Over the, like, she's on you.
But what do you do if there's like, we're range 5 apart? What's her answer? Is walk yeah. towards me, right?
Yeah, okay. That's
kind of what I meant.
Yeah,
so like a Hawkeye might be really good.
Hawkeye's amazing. If you get a shock on her, things mm-hmm. really change.
Yeah, because she loses that 20% odds of her hitting a flurry, mm-hmm. which is pretty big.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Hawkeye's a really good choice. Thor just dropping a shock on her automatic, that's really mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, she and as we talked about, she's not overly survivable, so any reasonable attacks you can put on her are probably inflicting damage. So Hawkeye can stay away from her. She'll never catch him. She might get one attack against him. That's going to be it. And she's going to have to move and pray to get to range 3 because he's going to attack, place. And each of those attacks have a reasonable chance of putting a negative effect on her. So you can like shock bleed. And then she's just mm-hmm. taking bleed damage on top of everything every turn. I think he can even slow. Let me double check. It's been a while. I know he cannot incinerate. We got shock, bleed, slow, poison. So yeah, they're immune to poison conveniently. Which I don't know why I remembered that, but that would actually be really funny. But anyway, yeah, so slow her and then shock her and then just stay away from her with Hawkeye and just slowly walk her down. And he's 4 physical defense if she ever gets close.
Does Cable just kill her at range, like, before she goes?
I don't think Cable kills anyone before they go.
I know, I hate to say that, but for
sure. We have a 3-point character that counters her. Why are we looking for a 5-point character?
I'm just saying, I'm trying to make, I pitch painted
him. So he has a range 5 plasma rifle with incinerate on a wild. Yeah, that seems noticeably okay. worse than Hawkeye.
Scratch that, he's still not good.
Yeah, he also, I don't know if he generates the power to body slide by one. Oh, he gets an extra power. Okay, then yeah. He can body slide by one. But like, you at that point, you immediately start body sliding backwards. Like, that doesn't help you. Like, yeah. A range 2 place is half the range of a range 3 place. Like, he actually doesn't get away from her at nearly the same rate. And he's speed slow. So if he did decide to move, he's slow as balls.
Mm-hmm.
So first option, Hawkeye. Second option, Cable, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, you basically just want a ranged attacker that can deal with her from far away, and you want to try and deal with her before she gets her whole thing going. But if you can put some damage on her to where like you have a model that can then charge in and finish her off, that's not too bad either. And so put some damage on her at long range, that way your first attack has a good chance of killing her and you don't have to deal with her bullshit.
Yep.
Okay. So that was Medusa, moving on to Thanos.
Interesting. God, I think every beater in the game has a chance, but I actually think the answer to Thanos is to choose your crisis cards correctly. Don't let him play the point cost that Black Order wants or he wants. So mm-hmm. choose a crisis card that fits the picture because you know they're taking him. So
yeah,
go low points.
You want to choose secures yeah. that force him to spread out. You want to do non-central secure points. So like any of the deployment Bs is in Bravo. You don't, or maybe even a Delta deployment, you don't want to let him stand in the middle of the board because then he has range to everybody. But mm-hmm. if you do like a Demons or a Gamma Wave or what's a Central? I can't think of any Central Secures right now. Are there no Central Secures?
I don't know. There's a bunch of new ones out and stuff. I can't think of them.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to check.
Kind of because
all the Secures. Oh, Mutants Extremis. Oh, no, that's Extraction. So we want secure missions that are C. Deadly Meteors. That's a secure mission.
And you got to flip those things.
Roll, though. Yeah. I don't know that would work out. Mayor Fisk doesn't have a central point. See, actually, the Mayor Fisk mission actually wouldn't be the worst because he can't stand in the middle.
I think
You'd be better off with a more numerous mission like a Delta deployment or a Bravo deployment.
Yeah. I mean, things that push him are good. So let's go back to models. I really think that Shuri's pretty good against him. Because if Thanos is having to focus his time to grab Shuri and kill her, that's fine. Like, that's a fine use of that. Okay, great. Or she just pushes him back, and then he has to use one of his activations to move forward, and he really doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, one of the beaters in your list, a Magneto with all you got, will just shoot him down. Like, he'll die. He can die.
Yeah, you have to be careful with all you've got, because if you're giving up your guy's life bar for his guy's life bar, that doesn't necessarily mean you're winning, so you have to be careful. But yeah, all you've got is a good answer.
Well, I'm all you got plus field dressing. I'm not saying give up your life bar.
Right, right. Well, it depends. I mean, if you only had one hit point left, then yeah.
Correct. Yeah, sure.
Problem being, generally, you're never going to have priority. All right, so that's enough of these mission cards. Who is the best at killing him? He's slightly better against Mystic. He has damage reduction. She-Hulk's probably honestly not that bad, because he has no chance of killing her in one turn.
Stagger.
She can put a buttload of damage in him. And yes, she can also guaranteed stagger him. Yeah, because with her superior weight training, her strike can do 10 dice and her big attack does 12.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. 12 dice plus stagger. And she can do that twice.
And Thanos really can't do much about her. I mean, that's going to take two or three turns for Thanos to kill her. So you're talking two of the big models having to fight She-Hulk. That means that the table is clear of enemies. Like, just go take the objectives and win the game.
Yeah.
She-Hulk is a good answer.
So her first attack auto slows. She gains power for damage dealt. So she's going to come in and spend three power and roll 10 dice as a builder and auto slow you. Which the slow isn't super relevant, but you'd be surprised how much it adds up with how much he has to go chase people down. And then we have... then after she's put the slow on you, she'll hit you with the defense rest, which, as long as she does damage on her, she uses weight training again, will be a 12 dice attack. Then you gain stagger and stun, which he's immune to stun, but, and then she can still throw him or stuff at him up to size 4. Yeah, I think she's a pretty good option.
I was just thinking a crisis that's really good at with him, or against him, is cubes. Like, that damage is free. Yeah.
It adds up way too much.
It and really
does. You just go hunt down everyone but Thanos, and Thanos will die to the mission.
Yeah. It's brutal against him. I'm just thinking of things I hate. I hate that.
So we've got, She-Hulk, all you've got, and cubes, potentially. Cubes are also really good against him because he doesn't want an extraction where he has to, like, get 5 tokens, right? He wants to get the alien core that's 1 token and hold it for the entire game. He just wants to score enough points to where he's ahead of you, and then slowly, like, you know, take your list apart with control.
And he also changes on the back a lot. Like, you want him flipped.
Must be different on the back.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, his leadership is much worse on the back. Well, it's not necessarily much worse, but it's very costly, we'll say.
And he loses portals.
Yeah, he loses Cosmic Portal, he loses the victory point per KO'd model, and he gains a new ability, which is suffer up to 3 damage when attacking to reroll that many dice, which is not a great long game strategy.
Oh, God.
All right, so that's the 3 things we would suggest against Thanos. Conveniently, you can do all 3 of those, because guess what? And all you've got in She-Hulk kills. Anything. The answer is anything. If you're looking for anything, we would also accept everything. Moving on to Quicksilver. And the best part is, if you do that first, like, if he goes first, moves She-Hulk into his army to then kill her with, like, Corvus or somebody, you're like, sweet, activate She-Hulk, all you've got She-Hulk, kill all your bullshit, my turn. Wong double moves and plays field dressing, She-Hulk has 19 hit points left. And you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on, Quicksilver. I picked this guy last week because I thought he was going to be an up-and-coming meta member. I think he was going to start replacing Valkyrie in a lot of lists. He is so different than other models, I think it's worth talking about. But he's certainly the least important of these models to counter.
Yeah, I have no experience in Quicksilver. I don't know. You tell me.
The big thing about Quicksilver is, most of the time when you're trying to deal with... He feels a lot like Thanos, because he can do everything. But he just doesn't follow it up with lots of damage and survivability. He's basically like the new Spider-Man for mobility, but then, like, he just has a lot of weird stuff. So he's 3s across the board. He's speed long, 5 hit points on each side. His basic attack and his spending attack are both range 3, which a lot of people I don't think realize. He attacks from very far away for a melee character. His basic attack is 4 dice. And if he rolls a crit and a block, he gets to advance short after the attack is resolved. If he rolls a wild and a hit, he gets to make another attack after this attack is resolved, targeting a different character than the original character. This can keep chaining on every attack, unlike the other attacks that say get an extra attack, but it loses this ability. He gets to keep doing this as long as he rolls a hit in a wild. He just has to target different people with each attack. And so he can do some really weird stuff. Then moving on, his Cyclonic Vortex attack costs 2. His Spender only costs 2. And it's a 6 dice attack, and after it's resolved, he gets to advance medium. So it's basically Steel Rush on Zemo, if you remember Steel Rush. Very good attack. For 2, he gets to advance long if he is not holding an objective token. And then he has, as a reactionary power, costs 3. Can't catch me. It's basically Trickster on Loki. He gets, when he's targeted by an attack, he gets to advance away short. And then finally, he has Wallcrawler and Supersonic Reflexes, which is basically just Spider Senses. He gets to reroll 2 dice against energy and physical, and can also do it against dodges. So the big thing about this guy is he will come from literally like forever away. It's outside range 5. He'll move long, and then Cyclonic Vortex, attack for 6 dice, move medium, and then still do another attack, which can result him in moving again. And it costs like 4 power. It's not a serious amount of power. And so because he moves so far away from people, their only option is to, like, to go chase him. And if they chase you, you just end up leading them to nowhere and run away again, right? Because like once they've committed to chasing you down, you just kite them into a corner and run away behind terrain. And they're like, oh, great. I actually did nothing.
I always find playing against him, I'm like, just get over here so I can hit you. Like, will you please stop moving?
The big thing that tends to catch people is it allows you to reposition on the battlefield at important moments, because he can speedster, move long, Cyclonic Vortex, move medium, and then just action, move long again. So he's going long, medium, long, which is absolutely further than anybody else, which he should because he's, you know, Quicksilver. But he'll go from like one side flank point to another side flank point and get an attack in. And so, like, people that just aren't expecting that level of mobility, like, you'll have an injured character holding a point on one side of the table, and all of a sudden there's a healthy Quicksilver there after you've activated, and there's nothing you can do about it. And so he just blends this interesting mix of combat and scenario play.
Yeah, and he has enough things on his triggers to do things. Like, he does lots of extra stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say his tactics card. His tactics card's really good.
Yeah, his Can I Borrow That is really strong.
I don't know.
Obviously, it takes up a tactic slot, but he's the best at stealing an objective because you get to decide after the fact and you don't have to be within range 1 of the target. You can actually do it turn 1. So when you know those times when your opponent finds the thing on the power core on turn 1 and you're like, man, this sucks. Well, you just move up with Quicksilver. It triggers on damage. You just strike them. And if you deal damage, you have 2 power to pay for the card. And if you trigger dash, you then get to move away from them. So turn 1, second turn of the game, you've moved up, dealt damage to them, stolen their objective, and moved away. And they're like, what the hell? Like, how the fuck is this guy doing that?
Again, I think Valkyrie feels pretty good as an answer to him.
You think so?
Because she can charge. She can move, then charge, then throw. So she can throw him into somebody else who can help you deal with him. I like that.
So the problem generally being if she's moving, charging, he can trickster away as well. So it's not ideal, but it's still better than nothing. And he can trickster potentially out of her throw range. Not if she throws first, but if she's attacking to get the power to throw, he can trickster out. And then she doesn't have range to throw him.
Hawkeye's not terrible. Putting slow on him, that would be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
Slow on him is actually relevant. It's one of the only times that putting slow on somebody is actually relevant.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think Hawkeye is good just because you can kind of keep up with him, and like you said, you can nail slow on him, and even if he blocks the attack, you can put slow on him, which is pretty big.
Yeah, he's hard to get damage through on him because he rolls 2 dice, right?
Yeah, he's got spider senses. Mm-hmm. Basically, I think it's Taskmaster, kind of, because Taskmaster ignores line of sight on a range 4 attack. Not that he's overly good at killing him, but if you can ever get to short range, like if he's decided to stand on a secure point that you're near, he can defend it because he can go in with his bigger attack that rolls 7 dice against him, and he doesn't get to reroll his defense dice. Mm-hmm. But I would recommend Venom, because Venom has the range 3 attacks. He can spend 2 power to drag you medium closer to him within range 4. So he has to actually legitimately stay away from Venom, or he'll actually get killed. And Venom also prevents the the rerolling and auto bleeds on his attack. And can throw size 3 stuff into him, so that's another good option. So I think Venom or Hawkeye would be my number one picks.
Sounds good.
All right, and that brings us to the end of the list.
We did it.
Cool. Yeah, hopefully that was helpful. I mean, some of these are fairly new inspirations. Like the Scarlet Witch thing, I know when Jeremy thought of it, because I was realizing it for the first time as I was playing Sabretooth against Scarlet Witch. And we both just kind of look at each other like, is this actually a good matchup? This is like the first time I felt good about fighting Scarlet Witch one-on-one. And he's like, yeah, I think you're fine. And then he just absolutely murdered her. And I was like, oh, okay. I got pretty lucky, but it was pretty awesome.
He can engage early. That's the key. You can't let Scarlet go.
Yeah.
She can't get a shitload of power. And Sabretooth does a wonderful job of that.
Oh, cool option for Deadpool is good against Enchantress because she can't move him.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Deadpool's a very interesting add to the game, I have to say. I also wasn't that excited at first.
She can never kill him, basically. Because how is she supposed to kill him when he heals 2 a turn?
Yeah,
and potentially heals 3 a turn with the Chimichanga. And then also, he always counts as healthy, so he'll always contest the point. She can never deal with him. Like, she can't just get him to injured and then out-secure him because she's healthy. He's always healthy for the purposes of game effects. Because he's serious now. He was just kidding before. Deadpool is a lot of fun to play with. I'm very excited.
Yeah, he seems to be fun.
He's very uninspired on paper, but you need to get him on the table. He's much better on the table than he is on paper.
Yeah, having a model that can't be manipulated is pretty cool. In that way, like, there's so many that do it now, just to be able to shut that off is great.
I might actually start playing X-Force just without Cable, because I really just want to play X-Force. I want to play like Wolverine, Sabretooth, Deadpool, and Bob, and then like that's basically what I want to play with, so it's whatever.
Yeah,
they need another exceptional healing card that for the X-Force affiliation that works on healing factor people. Just a second copy of Exceptional Healing is what the faction needs.
God, please no. There's already too
many.
Maybe
it could be luck. Maybe it could be luck themed. Like, it could be a domino card, like last minute save. It's like, play if an X-Force character would suffer more than 1 damage from an attack, reduced to 1. Or if like they would be dazed or KO'd, instead they have 1 hit point left. Like, basically just make it like last minute save, but it works off of domino only for X-Force. I don't think that'd be broken.
I don't know.
It could be called, like, Hey, Look Out. And Domino's, like, pointing at the giant avalanche coming down on them. They're like, oh, no!
If Domino's within good. 4, yeah, something.
Yeah. No, yeah, you'd have to have Domino and be playing X-Force. That's why I think it'd be okay.
Yeah.
It's certainly more balanced than fucking Lockjaw, so I don't even want to hear it.
Quit hating on him. That dog's fine.
Dog's fine.
It's fair and balanced.
Okay, well, that's going to wrap up our main topic. Hopefully that gives you guys some direction if you're struggling with any of these characters. Wow, we have all this like not topic stuff now to talk about because Parker's not here.
Hotness.
Should I do a comic corner? So this one time at band camp, I read this book and it was about comics, and you should read it too because I liked it, kind of.
Okay.
Except for that one time when he was like, "Don't read this comic; it's terrible." And I was like, "Why are we doing a comic corner for a comic you don't like?"
Yeah, it made exactly. No sense. God.
Yeah, weird guy. All right, well, I think we're actually good to wrap it up. We're at about 2 hours now.
I'm good with it.
Is there anything else you want to talk about, Jeremy?
There's a building coming out.
Oh, yeah, the apartment building.
It'll be out soon.
What do you think about it? Are you going to get one?
I might. It just depends how many people get them. I mean, I kind of have enough to have a table now. That would be a good addition. And also, I would love to see more stuff that you can't destroy on the tables, being that all the shit gets thrown around and, like, I don't know. I feel like there does need to be something that causes slow, like to get up on it and kind of be there. The game is missing that. It's, you know, you can always put something and do that, but it's kind of nice to have something.
So
like
we actually have those Muzon Minis buildings, and the reason I'm considering not really getting one is just that if we were going to use one, why wouldn't we use the one we already have? That's basically the same thing. And I would actually argue it's actually easier to play with, because it's a perfectly flat roof, which is basically what this game wants. And it's got a small grid on it, so you can actually see exactly where your stuff is. So if you're trying to place it, like, go up and down, there's no parallax, because you just follow the grid.
Yeah. I do think
I actually
we need to play with something though like that. I like to add that back in.
I think visually the building is very, very appealing. I want to play with one and it looks really cool. The problem I have also is that there's no way I can do a battle report with one.
No.
They're just too tall. Like I would have to zoom out so far that you'd barely be able to tell what was going on because the fucking thing's like 12 inches tall.
I kind of like the idea of playing with like five. You know, like
yeah,
have
playing
like
a city fight game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that.
No, it'd be really cool because the wall crawlers could just be like all over the place. No, I think it could be really cool. And because Chris was talking about how he was planning on doing a display board for Gen Con the year this came out. And so it was, what, 2018 October it came out. So he was going to do a table for 2019 Gen Con that was a 3x3 table of like six building roofs. That was like a tight block for New York City. So like the buildings all be like 1 inch apart. And it would just be the like top 4 inches of the buildings would be modeled on the table. And it would just be like a rooftop fight. It sounded like it was going to be really cool.
Yeah, I really like the way the game uses the terrain. And I think everything that's available should be on a table at some point. Like, I like all of those options.
Mm-hmm. The cosmic terrain is definitely the least popular, but I think it has its own kind of elegance to it because you look at the box, you're like, this looks like stupid fucking terrain. But the terrain is so much bigger than it looks on the box. Like, you get the pieces, you're like, holy shit, these things are huge. It's like the size of a thermos. And you're like, oh, I thought this was like a little piece. Like, no, all the terrain is huge. It's just, it's really weird terrain.
Yeah, I realized how big it is when I saw it on a tabletop simulator. I was like, wait a second, that shit is huge.
Yeah, that stuff is really big. I bought a kit for it originally, and I ended up trading it to John so he would paint some of my stuff. Because I just realized I was never going to paint it. If I wasn't going to paint it, I wasn't going to play it, so it didn't matter. I have too much terrain as is. I have three core sets of terrain. I have two of the New York City terrain packs, two of the truck packs, two of the construction site packs, and I'm going to get one of the buildings.
Well done. You have a lot.
Yeah, well, I have to basically, as a person, supply all the terrain for the store, so, you know.
It's fine. You agreed to it long ago.
Yeah, sure I did. Remember when I agreed to that, Jeremy? Can you give me a date and a signature on that one?
It's in a file in the back.
All right. Well, let's go and wrap it up. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. This has been Brandon.
This is Jeremy, not Parker.
And this has been Just Play She-Hulk?
Question mark?
She counters everything. I discovered I had a hangnail while clapping.
Yikes. It's because you're trashy. Trashy people have hangnails.
Oh, is that how it is? I heard trashy people's ACs break.
Well, I mean, we don't have money to fix it, so yeah. I have the TV on top of a TV. I have that.
I'm going to go turn my AC down so it gets even cooler in my house. I'll be right back.
You're like, the problem is my AC is too strong, so I turn it off half the day.
I'm probably going to have to go get my robe at some point because it's like 54 degrees in my house right now. It's like a meat locker.
I mean, I usually keep it at like 71, so now that it's like 78, I'm just like, it's sweltering. Like, I don't even know how to feel.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of 68 as a house set temperature.
Oh my God. That is pretty chilly.
I like it. I like it very cold.
I like to be able to wear my slanket whenever possible.
All right. Oh boy.
All right. Let me open your little list here. See if I can figure out what's going on.
Yeah, it'd probably be best if you had it open.
I mean, I barely participate. Let's see here. Hold on.
Man, I had all this fun stuff planned to talk about. I'll have to push this to next week.
Just blew it.
Yeah, I had all these Parker-inspired topics that we're going to have to wait on.
Okay, so where's that list at particularly?
Is it in the main topic. Are you in the text document
or
the spreadsheet?
I see it. Main topic.
Main topic.
Scarlet, Valkyrie, MODOK. Yeah, I got that list.
So these are the models we drafted last week.
Gotcha.
And so we're just going to go through and say what we think the counters are to these models because we talked about them being influential models.
Mercy.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine some stuff. I got some ideas.
Well, that's good. This is a good topic when Parker's gone because Parker doesn't know anything about magic.
The answer is Captain America. How about Valkyrie? Captain America. What about MODOK?
I'm glad.
Captain America.
You just play Captain America and Black Panther and wait for your opponent to rage quit. I mean, that's how I win games.
Oh, Captain America? No. Ghost Rider? Okay, now I get it. Ghost Rider? Enchantress? Ghost Rider?
I mean, we should probably save that. We'll save this for the podcast, but I have some things to say about Magneto and hard counters.
Oh, yeah.
I do. There is a legit guaranteed win scenario against Magneto, and I have evidence to prove it.
Okay.
He's no longer going to be meta. He's going to be taken out of the meta.
You've actually beat, you people claim to have beat War Machine. You have now beaten Marvel Crisis. Is that what you're saying?
No, specifically just Magneto. Oh, okay. Not Marvel Crisis. Because soon you'll never see Magneto again, which is why.
It's that strong.
It's just going to be a whole new meta, yeah.
Your tech is ultra strong.
He'll be the new Ebony Maw. Nobody will play him because they know it's an auto loss.
That's true. Let me see. Which models take no damage upon all damage hit? No damage is taken.
Which models are immune to physical damage and also do infinite damage.
Okay, exactly. Gotcha. It's Bob.
Oh,
right?
Jason came back up to the store again yesterday.
What?
Yep.
A wild Jason has emerged.
Yeah. Well, he's back from, they went to Nashville for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, fucking everybody's traveling right now.
Yes, they are.
I'm working this weekend again because my boss is again out of town or doing something.
At least somebody
is. Parker's gone. Jason was gone. John was gone. Man, it's just everyone's leaving town. They don't understand that the Rona's just waiting for them there. Wherever you're going, the Rona's waiting.
Don't let it in. Don't let the Rona in.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I eat my Batwing soup in peace. I'm just glad people quit hating on me for it. I'm like, that shit's delicious.
Batwing soup. That reminds me of Anchorman 2.
Oh my god.
Did you ever see it?
Yes.
He has the chicken restaurant. And he's like, they're not chickens. Like, what do you mean they're not chickens? Bats.
Yep.
It's like, you're selling bats? Like, how is that? Are bats cheaper than chickens? Yeah.
That was actually, like, there were some moments in that movie that were pretty funny. When isn't that the one where he's like, drink a hot cup of horse piss? And he just kept going on about drinking horse piss. I don't want to drink the horse piss.
I don't remember that part.
It was his kid.
I don't know. With the whole way they do those movies, it's practically an improv script, right? Like, they have a storyline, and then they just get in there and they film 9 takes of them being stupid.
Yeah.
And then they just cobble together the best one. Because when it came out and people didn't like it, like, oh, we can give you a different one. And they literally just re-released the movie with all different lines. Because all they had to do is go through and hit B track and produce the movie again. Like, that's all they had to do.
They Snyder cut it?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. Did you watch that video I sent you?
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty... You mean
exactly?
You mean he remade a movie that takes you half a day to watch and it turned out to be decent? Like, what?
Oh, no, they make fun of how terrible it is.
Yeah. But it was like the clip or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, why does this happen? Unclear is the plot. You're like, oh, okay.
Unclear.
What's the point of having this really dramatic scene between Lois Lane and Clark's mother if it just ends up being not her mother anyway, or his mother anyway, and it ends up being the Martian Manhunter for no reason whatsoever or explanation? And you're just like, okay, I guess the Martian Manhunter hangs out at Clark's house a lot and disguises himself as his mom because?
Was that the idea behind that? I missed that entirely. I have no idea.
No, like, they just wanted to get Martian Manhunter in the movie, and so they just added him to a scene that he wasn't really supposed to be in.
Gotcha.
And so all they had to do was CGI the clip when he walks out of the room after she leaves. And so now that was someone else now. It just makes no sense.
Huh. I mean, I do enjoy a lot of, like, cameos and stuff like that, but again, the point was, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This is Sparta? Question mark. Like, yeah. That was his thing. Like, he should have just left it. Like, that's fine. It was perfect for that movie. Call it a day. All right, so are you going to do news?
Yeah, I'll do news. I mean, is there news? We got Jean Grey.
I mean, as far as I can tell, that's the only thing I saw. But, yeah, I don't know. That's the only thing I saw.
Yeah, I think that's all the new stuff. Oh, what do you think about Jean Grey?
Oof. I think I really don't think we can call it until we see her tactics cards. There's going to be some. And I think they spoiled something about like what their names are or some shit. I didn't really pay that much attention. But if they're not great, then she's not good. I don't think she's that great.
You don't think she's good?
I think she's okay. Like, the problem is we have the five pointers to stack against. Like, I don't know what she's... I don't know what role she does. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I feel like X-Men is just going to be the mercenary faction, and people are just going to take models out of X-Men and put them in other factions.
I mean, okay, so my choice is Jean Grey or Corvus with Stone. Excuse me? That's not even a choice.
Or MODOK,
truly. Like... And MODOK's got a big base, and there's all kinds of things. Like, I can be the thing is just like with Scarlet Witch, her tactics cards send her over the edge. She's really good, but she's got some real good tactics cards too. So she really lands in a good spot.
Yeah, I don't know. She's kind of in the middle for me. Like, I don't know that I'm overly inspired by her, but she's not. I don't think she's bad.
Yeah, I think she's an X-Men, so that's good. I mean, more models in X-Men that are okay or good is probably a good thing.
We definitely needed a second five-pointer in X-Men.
Who, Cable and her?
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Because that way you can play what's his name? Cyclops as your leader, and you do three people at that 14-point mission. And then
Jesus Christ. Really
good. Can you just imagine doing Jean Grey, Cable, and Cyclops at that? And you just run the Summers family?
Oh, my God. Like, so now you've got a whole nother, like, thing you can do, which is you play that and act like there's nothing your opponent can do. You're like, oh, shit, 14 points? Gotcha.
Yeah, you just act really confident. They're just like, what am I missing? We call that the Damiano Go strategy. Do you remember that from War Machine? It's when you know that there's absolutely no way out of this terrible situation for you.
The Damiano Go.
Yeah, you act extremely confident, and you tell your opponent, oh, I'm sorry that you got this bad matchup. And you just run your caster, you full camp run your caster directly at their caster, and then just pass the turn. You don't even move the rest of your models. And they're like, what is going on? And they ask to read the rules on your models, and they just spend 10 minutes staring at the cards. They're like, what am I missing? Why is this working? And it's just like, there's nothing. It's like, I have auto lost this.
Oh my god.
But I'm hoping that you clock yourself out trying to figure out what I'm gonna do.
Oh yeah. Feet, many feet, run, go. Good. Yeah. Done.
You clearly don't know the timing chart that well and just wait to see how long they spend reading the rule book.
You're like, go ahead and move that.
It doesn't mention anything about the timing chart on any of your cards. Oh, well, I guess you're gonna lose.
Charge him. Like, see what happens. And I'm dead. Congratulations, you got me.
It's like the poker bluff, you know? You're just like, yeah, we're going all in. It's like, but why? It's like, just because.
Because I got it.
Just have extreme confidence and hope your opponent doesn't.
You're like, so you didn't have it the first couple flops, like card, like, but now you suddenly have it. I don't understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's exactly what that would be. Like, 14 points? Fuck yeah, I'll play that. And you're like, what? Hold on. That would be an interesting thing. What would be the worst 14 points you could put together as a list that's actually a faction?
Both mutant families are 14 points.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you Magneto, Scarlet Witch, and Quicksilver as well.
Yeah, but that's good. I'm just saying a terrible one. What would be like the worst? Is it X-Men with Scott Summers? Like, did we just already create it?
No, yeah, it's the worst. It's the two families are, you have the Summers family versus the Maximoff family.
God.
Ugh. It's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be that's the best. Gotcha. So I feel like it's gonna be like the nightmare game scenario is Sam's Avengers versus Sin and Cabal. Like, is that a shit show game or what? Just people moving around everywhere, objectives being dropped everywhere. It just seems like a mess.
Yeah, but the Cabal list doesn't necessarily daze a lot of people. So they're not actually going to trigger Sam's leadership that often. They just create chaos.
I don't know. Bunch of 3-point Avengers. I don't think is the nuts either. Like, I don't think that's, I just think they just.
You mean all both of them?
Really? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure there's only like three Avengers. Let me double check. Avengers.
There's like Arrow Guy. There's like
Arrow Guy. Oh, I guess if we're counting the Ghost or the Pym Tech guys, then yes, there are.
They are Avengers.
All right, Avengers sorted by point cost. We have Agent Widow, Wasp, Ant-Man, new Captain America, Iron Man, Quicksilver. I forgot he got added. Hawkeye. Oh my god, Iron Fist is an Avenger? When did that happen? Oh, Iron Fist and Luke Cage. Yeah, so if you count the Defenders guys and the Pym Tech guys, which I don't know that you... Actually, I think Luke Cage is probably really good in Avengers. And then Beast. Yeah, it's all like the random out-of-faction people that are in. And then the Pym Tech guys that nobody ever plays.
I keep feeling like the Ant-Man and Wasp are actually okay. I just... The rules are just so small, and their cards are just shaped weird. Like, I don't want to put them on the table like that. I just can't.
They're bad
because
their cards are turned sideways.
I know. I don't like it.
They're terrible.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think they're good. I don't think they're bad enough to be like, you know, to give people crap for playing them or anything. But I don't think they're good.
I think at this point, so many shitty models have come out that, like, we can actually look at them and go, hey, they ain't that bad.
Yeah. Well, it's not like a choice between three guys anymore. There's actually like possible other synergies going on.
It's hard if you have a splash of a three-point model or like just you need a hole. Like there's so many good three-pointers now. Like
I like playing with Punisher just because I enjoy Punisher's kit. But I think Valkyrie is still the best go-to three-pointer. But that gap is certainly narrowing.
Yeah.
We're getting to the point where there's actually like legitimate options for 3 points that aren't Valkyrie.
I think some of the issues with Valkyrie, and they keep growing, is the fact that they're like size 3. So you can't just move, throw everybody in the game now. I mean, that's the only issue with Valkyrie, and it only comes up rarely.
She also has to kind of commit, and people know what a problem Valkyrie is if you ignore her. So she gets targeted a lot, and she doesn't have any way to stay alive. So usually she'll only get one good turn of attacks and then she dies.
So I'm sure you haven't been following the TTS Season 5 stuff, but there's a fact that's happening right now.
What are you talking about? I follow all of the TTS.
No, you don't follow shit.
Information.
And
I am up to date on all facts.
I know.
About
yeah,
TTS.
Yeah. So they just came out with their new stats because they're halfway through. And you know, like most games are supposed to be designed to be, you know, like... You have a 40% or 45% win rate, 55%. Like, those are like edge of broken type things. Like, 55% is pretty crazy.
Given enough, a large enough sample size, being off by 5% on average is a big deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah. So, Wakanda, guess Wakanda's win rate?
68%.
75%.
Damn. How many games?
A lot. Like, I don't know. I honestly don't know that number, but.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
I would really like to know that number, because if that number is like north of 200, then that's like a legitimate number. But if it's less than 100 games, then that's not really a... The problem is it's probably closer to like 30 games, so it's just not really valid information.
Let me see if I can pull it up real quick.
The accurate sample size needs to be literally like triple digits, or else it's not actually super valid information. Because, like, the War Machine World Championship stats that came out, because it was, like, 60 teams of 5. And so, like, people would always talk about Haley, too, was the most broken caster in War Machine. And she never broke 56% out of, like, 160 games played. And then they broke it. They broke War Machine. And then they had an entire faction of a 70% win rate. And that's basically when the game collapsed on itself.
Oh, really? What was that?
That was Crix the year I went to WTC.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was just that big downhill after that. And then it just turned into basically 40K again, because every 2 months there was a giant errata nerf to make up for the thing they had just printed that was broken. And then they would release something else that was freaking broken. And then it would dominate the meta for 3 months and get basically ratted into oblivion. And it's like, so you're just telling us who gets to win for the next 3 months every time something comes out.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. And so your only option is to wait for your turn, buy all the new models that are super overtuned, try and get them assembled and painted in the month and a half you have to get your fucking games in, and then your shit gets nerfed into oblivion and you wasted all your money. It's like, no thanks. I can understand that in a video game a little bit, because there's no monetary investment in individual items, usually, like, so you can get past that. But when you're like, literally, I've invested hundreds of dollars and dozens of hours of my time into acquiring these items just to have them be destroyed. It's like, no thanks.
All right, I'm putting the link in podcasting, and I'm looking at it right now.
You posting links at me?
I did. I just fucking did. Deal with it.
How funny is it that they use an Ultron splash art for their stats?
Okay, what am I looking at?
Guardians of the Galaxy. Beginning S5, mid S5 change. I don't understand. Is this like number season of players?
Five. I guess. I haven't looked.
Count, minor falls, single affiliation rosters still remain more popular than multi-affiliation rosters. Okay, so Spider Foes had two people playing them at the start, and three people playing them midway through season five. Well, that probably means they're very popular. This probably has more to do with the fact that they're unavailable. They were unavailable until very recently, but there were zero people playing X-Force at the beginning of season five.
They weren't allowed. Because it didn't drop in the U.S. until...
You can say whatever you want. I'm going to choose to believe it's because cable sucks.
Whoa. Bold words from a bold man. Let's see.
Oh, Okoye is on the downstroke. People are coming around on how bad she is.
So you say.
However, Domino is having a meteoric rise.
She's fucking phenomenal. She's ridiculous.
Medusa dropped heavily. She went from 71 to 51.
So yeah, there's some numbers there. I don't know where the other, I don't know. I haven't looked at this, and I don't know.
What the fuck? This doesn't make any sense. Oh no, that makes exact sense. Okay. All right. So Domino's the most popular X-Force character by far.
By far.
There's 43 people playing Domino, and there's only 21 people playing X-Force. So less than half of people playing Domino are playing her in X-Force. And characters not played at the halfway point of the league are Hela, Captain Marvel, and the Space Stone. Gamma Wave's the most popular mission. Worthy's the most popular extract. Oh, I think it's funny that they even did this. But guess how many people play with two restricted cards?
100?
I'll give you a hint. The number of people that play with one restricted card is 6.
What?
Yep.
Oh my
god. There's two people that play with none.
You know what? They'd have to be Black Order.
You think so? They don't play All You've Gotten or Field Dressing in Black Order?
They're kind of known to be the ones that don't really give a fuck about none of that. But I mean,
well,
they're good. I don't know.
There's 154 people playing Double Restricted.
Well, I would think so.
Field Dressing is the second most popular tactics card that's restricted. Oh no, Brace is the second most. Field Dressing is only 60 players. That's like only a third of the players are playing Field Dressing.
Yeah, number
Hashtag
two.
Free wins. Oh, no one's playing Anger Management? What the fuck?
Jesus Christ,
such a good card.
Throw this stats out. This is garbage.
Yeah, they're not playing Anger Management, No Escape, or Heave Ho. So the three cards we said were absolute trash, they're not playing.
They must listen to this podcast.
Yeah, they probably do.
Let's see, is there any on that list that we think there should be? Hold on now.
Yeah, I think Seeing Red should see more play than some of the cards they're playing with.
Vapors of Valtor, that's your fucking thing.
Vapors is a good card. I think people vastly underrate Vapors.
I don't think Weapon X is terrible. I'm shocked that nobody's doing
Weapon
that.
Weapon X isn't terrible either. I just dazed Magneto in the last game I played with it, and I was like, get wrecked, nerd! I was sitting there, I was like, well, I only have enough power to either All You've Got or Weapon X Training. I played Weapon X Training, and he got dazed, and I'm like, suck it.
Yeah, he couldn't do anything about the 4 damage coming his way.
Yeah. Yeah, because even if he spends, he's only because he doesn't get cover, he's only averaging blocking like 2. It's like he still takes several damage.
It's like sometimes you block 2, sometimes you block 0.
Okay, Agents of Smash is getting played.
Oh no.
I am not happy living in this universe anymore. We have to move to another universe.
What do I get, 8 cards? I don't know. There's just, I can't find any good ones. I guess I'll just use Agents of Smash.
What the fuck?
That also means that Hulk and She-Hulk is in a list.
Yeah, no, I got what that means. No Escape, Reversal. Basically, any card that says spend a tactics slot to perform a counterattack is worthless. So, conveniently, nobody's playing those cards.
Wow.
Kunlun Training is actually not terrible, if I recall. I don't remember what it does, but I remember it not being that bad.
It's just an aggro card, man. If your list is to murder everybody, it's good.
What does it do, though?
That's the one that allows to reroll attack rolls, and it's either you or your opponent.
Yeah.
And we looked at that, and I actually tried to use it. I mean, it was okay.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just, like, different recal.
Yeah. Which, I mean...
Reading through the zero-played cards that I think should be played, we have Heavy Ordnance, I think is one of the better attack cards, and Seeing Red, and Vapors, and Weapon X Training. There's actually four cards I think that should get played that aren't getting played. Cards that are getting played that should not be played. Sucker,
yes.
I guess that one's okay.
Somebody's playing Ricochet Blast.
Blast, probably. it's okay.
It's okay.
If you are playing Iron Man, it's better than the Heavy Ordnance. But
oh, shit. Someone's playing Shh, and...
Oh, right. Means... There's several people playing Shush.
Oh, shit.
Second Wind is also bad, unless you're playing Hulk, but because the Agents of Smash is also on this list, I assume it's the same guy.
Probably. He's going all in on Hulk.
I would actually be surprised if it wasn't the same guy, and I do know there's over 150 people. I would still be surprised if it's not the same guy.
Wow.
Yeah, all those cards should not be played.
Someone's actually playing Rocket Boots.
Blatant
still.
Mistakes. Yeah, someone's playing Rocket Boots and Crew of the Milano, and there's only two people playing Guardians, so obviously one guy's just playing full Guardians and just being fun.
I don't even remember what Blood Red and Personal fucking is.
Blood Red and Personal is the Punisher character card.
Oh, yeah.
It costs 4. It's a response in the power phase, and for the rest of the turn... when you KO a character, you gain a victory point.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've probably ridiculed these people enough. We should probably get into the meat
and potatoes
of the episode. Or we could keep making fun of them.
Anything on the rules forum? You can go there, too, if you want.
Yeah, I don't really want to go to the rules forum. Every time I go, I'm like, man, I should do this more often. And then I read through it, and I'm like, there is nothing here
Dumpster.
That makes any sense to
Dumpster.
Human logic. Like,
we should start the podcast
I just get
off.
Upset.
With yeah, what happens when you fall upset. Off a building. We start mm-hmm. there. We
like, pushed. I ran 2 demos over the weekend.
God help
2
you.
2 demos I ran over the weekend. And I never once got a question as stupid as every question I read on the rules forum. at least 90% of them. It's like, how? How can you not understand how games work? Like, I understand if you're coming from, like, HeroClix, or, like, some abstract game, or, like, oh, I play MMOs and I want to learn how to play MCP.
Yeah.
I get that you have, like, no translatable knowledge, but these are people that I know have played other games before, and the questions are just terrible. Facebook has some really bad questions, too. They're like, hey, when this says reroll dice, which dice do I reroll? It says any number, so reroll any dice you want. Well, how do I know which dice I can choose? Like, you can choose any of the dice that aren't skulls. Okay. So if I roll a crit and then I roll a block off of the crit die, can I reroll that? Yes. I don't understand why we're still talking. Like it's not that hard. It's really not.
The only thing that makes it hard is the game is pretty close to several other games, and I get that there's a lot of inference. If you don't play a lot, it is kind of like mm-hmm. clunky. Like, you think it should be this or that, and it just isn't. There's a lot
yeah,
of
I can get the, like, you're muddling up different rule systems. I get that, too. Like, people that are like, oh, you can reroll more than once? That's a question I expect to get, and I think it's a valid question.
Yeah.
Like, turn versus round, people confusing those terms. I get that. Action versus not action abilities. I get that. Like, but it's just weird stuff. If I field dressing a character that was dazed during his activation... Can he take his second action after I'd field dressing him?
Yes.
From several activations ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was the question on the rules forum. It's like, I don't even understand how you would expect that would even work. It's like, are we just doing the honor system that everyone remembers what he did? Like, can you re-roll the dice from a previous attack? No, like, this doesn't even make sense. It's like, what kind of twisted logic did they go through to make this sound like it was an okay thing?
If I bank up all my activations, can I activate Hulk 6 times in a row because none of the other characters activated?
That's actually a question I would expect to get. It's a ridiculous question, but you say that, but that kind of stuff happens in other games. That's true why enough. We never got into Guild Ball, because it was like, I put all my influence on this guy. He activates like 11 times. Okay, so what do your other people do? Oh, they just hang out. Like, that was the thing for Infinity as well for a while. You just like, all my action tokens go on this dude. He kills your team. And you're like, what? Yeah, he's got like 4 moves and 6 attacks. Go. Like, oh, God. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. We've yelled about stuff for a while now.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep, you're leading it. You lead the charge.
But are you ready?
The thing is my readiness is at maximum.
On a scale of 1 to 10, my readiness is at least a 6.
A 4.5 out of 5. Got it.
I think She-Hulk might be better than we think she is.
I think she's really good, yeah.
I remember when you were watching Jason get his shit pushed in by that She-Hulk player, Adam.
Yeah.
And you were like, how is he losing? He's playing She-Hulk. And then I was like, I don't know. I think he just had the one good turn and then he never got a chance to come back. Because if the She-Hulk player has priority and they come in on you and get lucky and like they daze 2 people off of special delivery, then what do? Your option is send your remaining 2 characters into him. And if he has priority, he just kills those 2 people next turn. And you're like, well, there's no coming back now.
Yeah, then, I mean, I think she
gets her... played him and he pushed your shit in, yeah, too. I was fucking laughing at you.
She-Hulk definitely gets her 6-plus threat worth of models dead. That's what I've noticed about her. So I think that's key. I mean, she can take out 6 to 9 points of models just by herself before she goes down. And you can't take her out on 1 or 2 turns. Like, you just can't.
Have you played She-Hulk in that X-Men list yet?
I have not. No.
I think you really need to. Because that, if you do the math, like, so giving her cover is annoying. Because you can't shoot her. It's not an option. She's basically has super stealth, right? Because if you're not within range 2, she's going to aggressive towards you and have cover. It's like, it's not a good choice. And she has bodyguard, so you can't shoot anyone around her. Like, it's like you put her with Beast and you're just like, all right, well, I'll shoot Beast. You're like, I'll bodyguard. You're like, never mind. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to attack. Mm-hmm. You just stay over there. And then your turn, she basically gets this fucking special delivery because of the storm leadership. And so she has leapfrogs forward over Beast's base, which is a huge place. And then she's like, let's do this.
So what I noticed that was happening, and I didn't realize it was going to happen, is when you do end up focusing something on She-Hulk, you're like, all right, I'm going to get you with this attack, like a big one. Mm-hmm. You've got one saved up. And Okoye is like, oh, excuse me real quick. Let me go ahead and eat that one. And you're like, motherfucker.
The Valkyrie Dragonflame Warrior of Legend with like 1-2 punch. You're like, Okoye is going to fall on this dagger.
Yeah. So that's the bitch of it. Like, she's a problem.
Yeah, I don't know that I like her in A-Force. I like the cards in A-Force, but I think in A-Force, I always just tend to try and do the, like, brick plan, and it doesn't work. Like, bricks are just not a thing anymore since, like, basically since Web Warriors came out, bricks don't work.
So what was the list I had? It was, like, Magneto, She-Hulk, and MODOK.
Did you play that?
No, but that was, remember, that was the off-brand? Where it was like, what can you do that's just dumb?
I think it was MODOK, She-Hulk, and then Corvus and Proxima. And then you had the 3 X-Men.
No, I mean, that was the list, but we had like the one-off with...
Oh,
like,
the models we were looking at, yes. Yeah,
it's like, what basically could you do that was dumb?
Assuming you are down 9 points, what's the best thing you can put in your list? And it was basically, Magneto, She-Hulk, Corvus, and MODOK.
17 points. Yeah.
So when she first came out, I played Hulk, Doctor Strange with the Time Stone, and She-Hulk in Defenders. And it was not as bad as you might have guessed.
No, it wasn't, because I think I played against that, and I was like, God damn it, that's a lot of wounds.
Yeah, because you send in Hulk first. They start dogpiling wounds on Hulk. And then after they've done that for a while, you send She-Hulk through the portal. And then she starts bodyguarding for him. So all you're doing is building up each of their power and damage. You're like, well, this is getting annoying. And then they just start killing everybody. And it's just, can you kill everyone before you run out of gas?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. It's like, my models are going to hit their preset kill limits at some point, and then I'm probably going to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. She might be very, very, very good. So
She-Hulk, let's check this real quick now that the podcast is over. So She-Hulk counters Scarlet Witch. Yes, because there's no chance that Scarlet Witch kills her before she dies.
No.
She-Hulk counters Valkyrie. Correct. She-Hulk counters MODOK. That was the actual choice we had. Uh-huh. She counters Shuri because she has aggressive.
Uh-huh.
She also bodyguards Shuri shots onto herself, which is even better. And every time you aggressive, you can try and maneuver it so that your base stops on something so you can't get pushed. So you're only moving towards her when she shoots you instead of away. Enchantress. This is probably the first question mark one, but there's absolutely no fucking way Enchantress would ever kill She-Hulk before the game ended. So I'm going to go ahead and pencil that in as a yes. So now the actual question, does She-Hulk counter Magneto? That's the only one that's probably going to be close.
Yeah, I don't see that, because he can throw all the buildings now, and stuff.
Yeah, but he'd have to do it first, so you just don't attack him till you're ready to kill him. But she could also do the cute thing where you just throw him away and leave, right? You just don't fight him.
Yeah.
So she could just, like, throw him away, walk away, do whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Medusa. Yeah, Medusa's not going to do anything to She-Hulk. Aggressive counters her push as well, so she's not even going to get her out of melee. Now, Medusa might do a decent amount of damage, but she's going to die as soon as She-Hulk gets a turn.
Mm-hmm.
It's also pretty likely that Medusa's not going to have priority against a She-Hulk list. Thanos, we already talked about. She was one of our suggestions. And Quicksilver. Quicksilver might be the only option where it's actually like a, I'll just go where you aren't.
But, there you go.
Like, legitimately just go where you aren't. But Quicksilver is definitely the weakest character on this list. And you would just go do something else. You would never try and chase down Quicksilver. But Quicksilver could never do anything about her standing on an important objective. Like, if you're, like, playing Gamma Wave, and she's like, I moved to the three-point objective. Quicksilver's like, cool, I'll go over here. Like, that's your only choice. Like, he can't do anything about it. He'll never kill her, he'll never move her.
What stops her from being amazing in Cabal? You don't need drop-off, you just place with Red Skull, like...
I mean, she doesn't necessarily need placement because of aggressive, but that's kind of a situational thing. Yeah, I think she'd probably be okay in Cabal. She just doesn't, you could cosmic invigorate her, which would actually be pretty good. I used to play Hulk in Cabal, and I thought it was fine back in the day, and so it'd clearly just be better with her. The thing is, why wouldn't you just play Magneto, because he's affiliated?
That's true.
Yeah, it's more of a, like, a problem of haves, not have-nots. Yeah. Like, you don't generally go reaching for other big models. They're the faction that has, like, Magneto and MODOK. Like, why do you need other stuff? But yeah, it would probably be fine.
Hmm.
So, legitimately, She-Hulk counters the entire game.
She's pretty good, especially if you don't have a way to deal with her.
Especially, I just love looking at her model, all those rippling muscles of her flexing.
Shut up.
It's so good.
It's disgusting.
Call back.
I just imagine she has, like, horrible feet, too. Like, it's just awful.
I just love the veins. It's like veins everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Jeremy's washing his eyes right now.
Just thin layers of skin. Just, ugh.
It's like latex over garden hoses. Like,
oh, my God. Ugh, pulsating. Ugh, whatever.
You're going to have nightmares tonight. It's going to be amazing. You're going to have the heat sweats.
I'm going to have her push all your stuff in.
That's we never talked about how your AC wasn't working on the cast. I think I just made fun of you for it. I don't think we ever told anyone you didn't have air conditioning.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have picked a worse day. I mean, it had been...
No,
like
last week I would have had to burn my place down and just go to a hotel.
Yeah, exactly. God, I remember from being a kid and not having air conditioning. And like, when my AC went out one day and I was telling somebody about how our AC was broken, we had to have someone come fix it. Like, why didn't you just go to a hotel? Like, the concept had never even occurred to me.
Yeah.
Because as a child, when our AC didn't work, that wasn't an option. Because if we had money, our AC would work. Like, yeah. It was just this thing that's like, yeah, every couple of years your AC is going to break and you're just going to have no AC for 6 months. Like, that was like a thing.
Why don't I just buy a plane?
Yeah, you're living in your car. Why don't I go buy a boat and sail to Antarctica? Like, these are not legitimate options. God. Like,
the good news is, though, is I'm renting, so all of the problem is not mine. Yeah, somebody.
Legitimately, the problem will probably cost about $80 to fix, but the bill you get will probably be like $300.
Oh yeah. Yep. But yeah, last week would have been hell. This week it's not too bad.
Mm-hmm. She coming up tomorrow?
I don't know. I don't know yet. I got some stuff. Let's see what happens.
I have to work all weekend.
My God.
It's gonna be poop. So, I bought some 40K models.
Did you really?
I feel gross. Like, I feel sweaty and sticky. Jesus. Like you do right now.
Ugh. You're doing orcs too, which is the dumbest fucking thing ever.
Dude, orcs are the only reason I even considered buying more 40K models. But yeah, I like to do Gazgul model, and because I built a list that's only 20 models, I'm like, well, if I can paint 20 models, then that's not even really an accomplishment, right? Like, it's like, all right, I painted 20 models. You're like, okay. Like, that's not a big deal. So it's like, it's not like 8 months of work, like that Tau project I had. And like, I just got tired of it and it just wasn't fun to work on. But yeah, so I'm going to see if I can throw it together, and then I'll have a little silly list I can play if I ever feel like it.
Well, like I say, I've got my chaos junk. I just have to read the rules and whatever. Like, I don't even know what's going on in that game right now.
Yeah, same. Although apparently I'm running a 40K tournament on Saturday.
Oh, good, good. You're an expert.
Yeah. Yep.
You're like, I don't know, D6 it. What are you talking about?
I literally can read rules. I think there's only one ruling I've ever gotten wrong, which made no sense. And it was one of those like, well, it's GW wording, so it makes no sense. It was like, you can spend one control point or command point per unit to redeploy a unit. And then the question was, could you put that unit in reserves if you chose to redeploy it? I was like, well, when do you choose to put something in reserve? And the guy said, when you deploy it. I was like, well, then I would assume you could do that. And I was like, I ended up being wrong because it had been like FAQ'd. And apparently the FAQ is official, but the guy didn't want to look it up because he knew it was wrong. So he's basically cheating. It was a whole thing. But apparently that's not uncommon in 40K tournaments. Everyone's trying to cheat. So it's just like, catch who you can and DQ them.
God.
40K is the best.
It has its
moments. I just love that there's like, remember when there was like a whole section of the community that nobody would play with because they were cheaters? Remember that? I don't. Like, what the fuck? Like, 40K is the only game where you're like, that guy's a cheater. Everyone in the store knows it. Even he knows it. No, there's no wool over anyone's eyes. That guy's the cheater. Like, it's like when you go to your job site, you ask who's the jerk, and everyone points to the same guy. And it's like that, but with the cheaters. Like, everyone knows who the cheaters are, but we just put up with it for no reason. It's like, dude, you're a cheater. Get the fuck out. Like, we're done with this. Like, we're not going to put up with you coming up here and trying to screw people out of wins because you have a tiny dick. Like, we're just done with it. Like, get over it.
So the first time I went up to the Games Workshop store in St. Louis when I started playing 40K a lot, I was like, okay, I got my models. I want to play a game. It was the game day, whatever. And I showed up and they were like, oh, okay, cool, cool, cool. That guy over there, he's looking for a game. Number one.
Yeah.
That's called a fucking setup, by the way.
Yep.
New guy, go play that guy. That's a setup. I didn't know it at the time, but it was crystal clear now that I look back. Mm-hmm. He was playing Dark Elves with a bunch of vehicles, and on turn one, he deployed his entire army in my deployment line and then killed all my shit with before I even went. Yeah. Gee, that seems awesome. Thanks so much. And it turned out that's the exact guy that you're talking about, the total douche asshole. And 40K had a bunch of those. I met that guy.
Yeah, it's just amazing how like the community hasn't run these fucking people out of town yet. And I just don't understand it. And I know part of it is like they go from store to store, like they get run out of one store eventually, and then they just go to another store. And then they come back like 5 years later and like, oh, maybe they've changed. Yeah, I bet they fucking have. Yeah, so I want to tell Parker's story of his first game of 40K since 5th edition.
Oh, God.
I wish he was here to tell it himself, but I love telling it as well. So this was in 7th edition 40K when formations were a thing, I believe. And so he goes up, he's like, hey, I have all these painted Tau models, and I borrowed them from my friend who's out of the game for the time being. And I really want to play another tabletop game because I'm not able to play whatever game I'm playing right now. And so some guy's like, dude, I would love to show you how to play. I love getting people into this hobby. And I really hope that you come up and you have a good time. So he schedules a game with this guy. And he gets there. And the guy's super nice. And he's like, he's super excited to play this game. And his opponent's like, all right, well, the rules say we take turns setting up terrain to set up a table. That way it's fair because we each have a say over how the table looks. He goes, oh, okay, so Parker, like, goes and gets this hill and puts it in the corner, like, where he's about to deploy. And then the other guy goes and gets a 12-inch building and puts it on the center line. He's like, oh, okay, you know, we need to block some line of sight because I have Tau, that makes sense. So he gets a little forest and puts it in, like, the other guy's deployment zone. He's like, oh, okay, there you go, there's a little bit of cover for you. Guy puts another 12-inch wall down right next to the other wall. He's like, I'm noticing a pattern. So he gets, like, this little house and puts it, like, kind of in, like, an advantageous spot where he might go to get cover later. And then he's like, oh, okay. And the guy puts a giant fuck-off piece of terrain down right next to it. So he's building this wall across the center line of the table. He's like, I'm noticing a problem with line of sight in this game. So eventually, they set up the table, and there's literally just a mishmash pile of... It's like a zombie apocalypse building. Like, where they just managed to build this ramshackle wall to block all line of sight across the center of the board.
Oh my god.
Then the guy rolls for scenario and says, oh, we're playing the... It's like rescue mission or something. So there's one objective in the middle of the table. The goal is to get this objective and leave the table with it. And he's like, okay. And he's like, all right. So he sets up his Tau, like, gun line, and then the guy sets up his Tyranid line. The guy then seizes initiative on him, so he gets priority over Parker, even though Parker set up first. The guy moves his flying Hive Tyrant up right behind the wall and picks up the objective with it and then runs the rest of his army to kind of just stand behind the wall. And then on the next turn, Parker tries to shoot at it with his, like, broadsides or whatever, and, like, basically only gets, like, two shots at the damn thing because he's hiding it behind all the terrain that he put out. And then he, like, flies off the table with it, basically. And he's like, boy, that was a really fun game. I made two attacks, none of my models died, and I lost. And the guy, so he just packs up his models and, like, doesn't say another word to the guy and just goes home. And meanwhile, the guy's like, did you have fun? I hope you enjoyed the experience. And, like, trying to sell him on the game when he just, like, fucked him over super hard in a learning game. Like, he learned none of the rules of 40K other than don't let your opponent set up the terrain.
Wow.
I love this story of Parker's. And I have no idea who that guy was, because I know the Tyranid players at the shop now, and I don't think he was one of them. So I don't know if it was just some random guy that happened to be there that day. It was weird. Oh, man. It was funny, though.
Well, I mean, as many, like, awful play experiences that Parker has created for other people, I have to say that's, you know.
Oh, no. Parker has definitely done that to other people in War Machine.
Oh, Lord.
But Parker, I don't think, ever, like, advertised that he was going to teach anyone the game.
Oh, not one time
ever. I will play you a game. Like, he would exactly. Never say, like, I will show up. Like, and he tries to pull his punches in learner games. He just doesn't know how. Like, he's like, yeah, I didn't kill the model I should have killed. And you're like, but you killed one of his models before you got a turn. It's like, yeah, but I didn't kill his warcaster. It's like, that's not what we're talking about here. Like, this totally different situation is quite entertaining. Yeah. Yeah, 40K is an odd duck. It's the community is so fractured into all these different groups. Like, there's the super fluffy painter groups that only care about, like, the story of the game and everything. And then there's the, like, hardcore tournament players that are basically War Machine players. Like, they're the War Machine players that never migrated over to War Machine. They want to play as many games as possible. They want to be super efficient at it. And they want to be very technically correct when they play. Then there's the, like, just very active players. They're generally more friendly and they just grind games and play. Then there's the dirty players, the people that will lie about rules or, you know, make illegal lists or, like, move extra, like, basically just the cheaters. And then there's, like, this whole other, like, group of casual people that just do kind of whatever they want. And it's just odd that there's so many different groups that play one game, which is just, it's weird stuff that happens when you have a low barrier to entry for a game.
I just know that 40K was one of the only games where you could go to a tournament, and it was pretty common that the soft score would mean essentially you couldn't win even though you didn't lose a single game. I mean, you could be middle. You could be middle and have played 8 games and won 7 of them, and you're 40th place because of soft scores.
Yeah, the soft scores is kind of an odd thing, but that's kind of been part of their game for a long time because it was... 40K was actually one of the first war games that wasn't like a historical game, right? It wasn't like a history-based game.
It's got to be. I mean, that thing's from the 80s.
It's basically Battletech and 40K, basically. Well, Rogue Trader and Warhammer were technically first. 40K came later. But yeah, it's one of the oldest games. And so because it's been such an institution for so long, and the British just game in a different way than we do, they do it much more casually than we do. And so that bleeds into the environment a lot, whereas where American gaming tends to be much more competitive, which is why Euro games are generally more board game style games, and then American games are much more me versus you style games. It's just a weird cultural difference. But yeah, I mean, just because it's been there for so long, everyone tends to get into it at some point that plays any kind of miniatures game. And so you end up with a very weird collection of people because there's no like filter. It's just everyone gets into it. But yeah. I don't understand why they put up with some of the silliness that some people try and pull. Can you imagine going to a War Machine tournament and getting caught cheating? Like, it's happened, and those people never played in another tournament again.
They were, like, excommunicated.
Them.
Yeah, like, they're not even gone.
Well, because it's not like you make a mistake, you misread your rule or something, you get thrown out of an event. That's not what we're saying. It's, like, one guy got caught egregiously cheating intentionally on camera at the WTC, the World Team Championships in Poland, and that guy never got to play another event again, I think, because he was representing America and he went on to a videoed game and was like, would ask his opponent a question, and when he looked down to read the answer off of one of the cards, he would move a model on camera. He's doing this. There are tens of thousands of people watching this game on Twitch, and he's cheating in real time. And it was so embarrassing. Yeah, that guy, and he was a replacement. He wasn't supposed to be on the team. He only went because somebody else couldn't go. But yeah, it was a nightmare. Then there was the Jordan Knock game. Jordan Knock basically didn't get to play in a tournament for 2 years. Well, I don't know if he didn't get to, but he didn't. And I think that was the correct choice. Because when you get to your table and your opponent never shows up, like, every game, because they just refuse to play against you.
Hmm. I didn't know about that one.
That was, so he was playing Krix versus Menoth. He was playing Jeremy Lee. Do you know Jeremy Lee from Texas?
Yes.
One of the very famous War Machine players from Texas. He goes to a bunch of the World Team Championships. But we are filming the game. Me and Jeremy are there with our L2 War Game camera crew. We're filming the game. It's a game in Masters at Adepticon. No, it wasn't Adepticon. It was War Machine Weekend. And it was the Masters. It was one of like the big qualifying events. And Jordan Nock was famous for this. But basically, he would, in the middle of your turn, he would hit the clock to himself on the chess clock, and then go to the bathroom. Just to make you wait in the middle of your turn. Like, he was famous for doing, like, really dumb shit like that, just to annoy people. So anyway, he does this. The Jeremy Lee is trying to kill his Kraken. He's gotten it about half dead, and then Jordan flips the clock and goes to the bathroom. Which is really unsporting, because it's like, if you wanted to go to the bathroom, like, you should at least wait for my turn to be over, so you're not interrupting my train of thought and make me wait, like, 10 minutes. Like, I get that it's your time, and if you need to go, you need to go, but he makes a practice of this to interrupt people's train of thought. So while he's gone, Chili, the event judge, walks by, and Jeremy's like, hey, can you just see how many hit points the Kraken has left? I just want to know so I can play in the rest of my turn. And so he opens Jordan Knock's little card book that he marks damage in, and he flips through it. He's like, there's no Kraken card in here. He's like, what do you mean there's no Kraken card? Like, I've been dealing damage to the Kraken this turn. He's been marking it in there. It's in there. You missed it. And so he looks through several more times. And he goes, there's a Judicator card in here that is definitely not a Kraken that has damage marked on it. And so Judicator has like 12 more health than a Kraken, which is a pretty big difference. It's like a 12 or 15% difference in health, because the Kraken had the fewest hit points of the Colossals and the Judicator had the second most. So, but he was playing them in these card sleeves that had these big white borders on the top, so you could write the name of whatever was in the sleeve. So it was covering up the title of the card and masking the fact that it was the wrong card. And so Jordan gets back and Chili confronts somebody. He's like, I need to know what the hell you're doing right now. And he's like, oh, it's okay. They have the same amount of hit points. He's like, I checked before the event. He's like, they absolutely don't. We checked while you were in the bathroom and kicked him out of the event. It's just like, that is would be such a little thing compared to what I see 40K players do on a fairly regular basis. And not all 40K players, specific 40K players.
Yeah, I mean, mostly 40K players are having a good time. Like,
yeah, I actually think a lot of them really enjoy the hobby, and they actually want the community to do well. But it's just like, I'm surprised that with the level of like goodwill the community has in general, there's that they put up with these other people that are just like bringing it down. I'm like I would never deal with that shit. It's almost like they're being too nice. Like, they want to include everybody, but the people that they're including are actively trying to hurt them. It's like, God. Stop it.
Yeah.
Just drop them. Let them go. All right. Well, I guess if you're not coming up tomorrow, I won't get any more games in this week.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, no. Jason's supposed to be there tomorrow.
There you go. I'll get a game in. Teach him about, make him listen to the episode and teach him about all those models and how to counter them.
That's true.
That's a pretty good list. I like that list.
And
that
they made. And it doesn't involve tactics, so he might actually be good at it. Mm. Righteous burn.
God. All right, let's wrap it up. I'm tired.
What? It's not even midnight. I know. We're normally up way later than this.
I know. I'm tired.
All right.
Work is killing me.